I think Sacha Baron Cohen has cojones. Oh, what a night. What a night. Not last night. The fake night we're about to have. Because it's Stevie's time. Yes, it's that time every year when those awards are handed out for achievement in the Steve Cochran Show. And by the way, when I say achievement, I don't necessarily mean that's a good thing. So later on this morning, well, as a matter of fact, this hour, we will start handing out Stevie Awards. Yes. It's very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Are they in those big envelopes again?
Yes.
Take a lot? Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I don't know what time we're doing the first award, but I have it here in the envelopes. Let me open it up.
Really,
looks like 6:40. 6:40 will be the first Stevie Award of the day.
All right.
Well, now that you opened it, you better not peek.
No, that was just a notification of what time the first award would be.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, everything's in an envelope this morning.
I didn't dress up for this. Were we supposed to dress up?
Well, you know, here's the problem. Once People Magazine and OK and everybody else gets a shot, you're going to have to explain who you're wearing.
Right, because that's what I'm going to be asking, because I'm doing the red carpets, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Andre actually did an interview with herself on the red carpet a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, it didn't go so well.
Did you find yourself to be snooty?
No, I just found myself too hard on myself.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
Were you wearing Vera Wang? What?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm actually wearing Wang Chung.
Are you?
Yeah. It's a little something that Wang Chung put together. Remember?
Everybody have fun tonight.
That's the one. Yeah. Lou Manfredini this hour. The first Stevie's award at 6:40 will be Best Guest 2015. The best guest for 2015. Guest? That'll come up at 6:40.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah, it really is hard to choose. Elise Glink, one of our money gurus, coming up before 7. We have Hawks Ticks at 7:20 this morning. And we have a very special, well, they're all special, but today, guess who's got a puck in their pants? Any idea? I mean, I don't know why I have to give out clues. I give out clues. People get it in the first clue. Don't you know yet?
Man or woman?
Exactly. Jason DeSanto from Northwestern University will analyze last night's Republican debate. Chuck Todd will join us from Meet the Press. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Sacha Baron Cohen, Borat. He's got a new movie out called The Brothers Grimsby, which is, it's not something I'd take my grandmother to.
Okay, so I was going to say, so it's not a serious
drama?
Okay.
No. It's got... It has something. There's a scene in this movie involving an elephant.
Oh no!
That will make the scene in The Revenant with the bear. Was it the bear?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like something that was really pleasant and something you'd want to see again and again.
Gosh. Do we want? Oh yeah.
I'm not even sure I want to do the interview.
Yeah.
Is he going to do the interview in character? Has that been decided? I agreed to that, didn't I?
You did agree to that. Oh, that was the stupid purpose of the tour.
What's it? Do we know his character's name?
I'm just going to call him
Sacha 2.
I don't know. I don't know. You know what? We'll deal with that. We'll jump off that bridge together when we come.
Got
back.
It. Yeah.
Last night's Republican debate, Marco Rubio had probably his best night of the entire campaign. Too little, too late? Yeah, probably. There is early voting in Florida, and I believe it's as early as any state, if not the earliest. So maybe some of the voting got in that was favorable, or maybe it was all Trump. Obviously, we won't know until next Tuesday. But the little guy, Marco Rubio, he can actually look back and go, well, I gave it one last shot, and it was pretty good. Last night, there was none of the, I can't say none, but there was almost none of the mixing it up. I'd love to see the ratings from last night where people tune in at the beginning expecting the reality show and the hand size and the Johnson jokes. Because I guarantee you the ratings fell off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was about policy and about opinions and about what to do with the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the last thing America apparently wants in 2016 are ideas.
I tell you, if Rubio can't win Florida next week, he's out.
Oh, of course he's out, yeah.
He's done.
And Kasich has the same problem in Ohio, though there are many polls now that show Kasich up by as much as 5 points in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Ted Cruz had a decent night and should have solidified his spot as the number two guy. But a couple of big misses last night. Big misses. There was a point where Jake Tapper, who did a nice job of keeping the fellas on task, Jake Tapper brought up the fact that there was a black protester at a Trump rally either Wednesday or yesterday, I forget which, and the protester was being escorted out, and this 78-year-old redneck punched him in the face. Sucker punched him.
Yeah.
The old guy was arrested and said something to the effect, and this is almost verbatim, next time we might have to kill him. So Trump had an opportunity to rebuke that. Mm-hmm. And last night during the debate, instead of that, he said, well, people are really passionate. They get really fired up. I don't know about this guy, but, you know, violence is bad, I guess. But people are really, really fired up and really angry. And some people provoke it. At the same time, Breitbart, which is there's no more right wing news site than Breitbart. Breitbart had one of their female reporters at a Trump event this week. And Trump's campaign manager is alleged to have grabbed her to the point that it bruised her arm.
Right. And didn't she kind of stumble and fall to the ground, too?
I think she did fall, at least drop to a knee or fell. But Trump indicated that she may have made it up.
She didn't, because the Washington Post reporter that she was standing next to said, I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, witnessed it. So this is 12 to 24 to maybe 36 hours later, and Trump said, well, she may have made it up. And the problem with all of that is that that nobody challenged him on it. So the point being, Rubio, Cruz, even Kasich were so locked into their own moments that they didn't pick up the opportunities to at least challenge Trump, legitimately challenge
him. Mm-hmm.
And his math didn't work on Social Security. Look, if you are in a football game and you're in the fourth quarter, and we're really at the two-minute drill for these guys, and you're down by two touchdowns,
you got to come out firing. You
got
to go for it.
And it doesn't have to be an insult fest, but you can't go, and here's another three-yard handoff to the right because that's a nice, safe move. It just, even as good as Rubio was last night, it felt like too little, too late.
Yeah, and I felt like Kasich held back, too.
Yeah, Kasich, you know, he didn't get as much time. He never does. But Kasich, I think he made good points. But, you know, for the amount of time he had, I don't know that he did much to help himself. It wouldn't surprise me if there was an Ohio poll that showed him behind again.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's a brief summary, and frankly enough at this point, from last night's Republican debate. The good news is there are no more debates scheduled between now and Tuesday.
No, they're all in. Most of them are in Chicago though today. Trump's in town, Cruz is in town, Bernie's in town. Hillary was here last night, and I know we'll talk about this throughout the day too. But she really hammered Governor Rauner.
Factually, or just the Democrat side of the opinion.
The Democrat side of the opinion, but really blaming him and solely him for the mess that the state is in.
She didn't bring up Madigan.
She did not bring up Madigan.
Madigan probably won't talk to her either. It's 6:17. Let's get a traffic update here. It's Friday morning. Sun's up all
TV.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini, you can text in a question or call 312-981-7200. Lou's First Call gives you an opportunity to be on with Lou before tomorrow's show, which, of course, starts at 7. And then, I mean, you got to know somebody to get in on the Saturday show.
Big time.
You can't just get in. You got to know somebody, and you got to know somebody now. Good morning, Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm well.
Are you at Channel 9?
I am, in a new fancy microphone setup here next to a microwave.
That must be the Dean Richards microphone.
No, I
room.
Believe I've been told this is the Mark Sapelsa microphone.
Ah,
it
yes.
smells like him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he wears English leather.
He does. He does. and by the way, he also wears the cologne. Yeah. So he's got both going for him.
Right.
Are there any special Lou events this weekend we need to tout?
No. It's we are in studio. We are going to talk to a guest about whether home warranties make a lot of sense, and we're going to break it down so that people understand how to set expectations about how long things are actually supposed to last. Like your water heater or your washer and dryer.
Lifespans of appliances and things.
Right.
And speaking of that, I think that may be what Art's talking about. He's your first caller. Let's go to Art now. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, rise and shine.
All right, I like your attitude, Art. You got shower issues.
I do, actually. Hi, Lou. A big fan. Love the Saturday show.
Thank you.
Shower issues, right. I turn on the shower and the pipes rattle. How can I get rid of that rattling?
Just in the shower?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah.
And does it happen all the time or just when you turn the water on or off?
Right, you turn it on. It happens most of the time, you know, and then you have to kind of adjust it a little bit and then it goes away. And
it's
just kind of annoying when you're downstairs and the kids are in the shower and the pipes are rattling.
So you could move, Lou. I mean, that would be a way to get rid of it.
Well, it's a little more expensive, but if it's a rattle that you can adjust away by changing the position of the valve, then it could be that the cartridge inside that valve system needs to be replaced. There's a series of washers and bushings inside of there, and if it's a single handle or even a double handle, whichever side it is that you're adjusting, you need to shut the main water off, need to pull apart that whole valve assembly, pull out the cartridge, and then take it to the hardware store, show them what you have, replace that, put it back in, and that should solve the problem.
Okay, like both showers do it, though. I thought maybe it was like air in the water lines or something like that.
Well, if it's both showers, then that's a different issue. Then now you need to shut off the main valve. You need to open everything up and drain the entire system down, also flushing all the toilets. Once all the water stops flowing, then you shut the valves back off. You turn the main water valve back on, fill the system back up. You'll have to remove the filters on all the faucets, the aerators, because those will get clogged with a little sediment, and that should solve the problem on the whole house. One shower, probably just a cartridge. Both showers, it's that you don't actually have enough air in the system that you need to replace.
How many people do you need at his house to turn everything on at the same time to flush everything?
A little time.
Fantastic.
All right, Art. Good luck, man.
You're the man. You're the man, Lou. So are you, Steve.
Thank you, buddy. Don't go away. Hold on. April Air Event Based Thermostat is yours, brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Somebody brought up, Lou, these extended warranty. You started talking about at the top of the segment here. These extended warranties, or I don't know if it's warranty insurance, where basically I could pay a company set amount of money for a year, and if stuff goes out, they're going to replace it with a refrigerator, the furnace, the whatever. Do you like those or not?
Well, so the big unknown with all of that is many of them have a deductible, sort of like the insurance you have on your cell phone, right? You pay the $10 a month or whatever it is, and then I dropped my phone in the toilet, or I broke my phone, and you have to pay $170 deductible. So you really have to pay attention to the fact of, I got this insurance policy on my refrigerator. The fridge goes out, then you have to replace it. And they say, well, there's a $300 deductible. And, I'm not a huge fan. I'm going to have an open mind with the guest we have on Saturday to kind of think about it, because everybody's in a different position. Some people just don't want the hassle. And they just want to have the peace of mind to know that, hey, if something goes wrong, I don't have to worry about it. And for me, it's worth spending the $500 a year or whatever it is. But when you're, in my opinion, when you're talking about refrigerators and washers and dryers, the expectation is that that is a 10-plus year appliance, which really should give you no problems. Maybe an occasional, hiccup here and there. But when it's well-maintained, by maintaining it and putting just a few dollars in it, it's your expectation it could last 20 years. So why am I spending an extra $500 a year just in case? Again, my opinion.
But you're going to talk to somebody about it tomorrow?
Correct.
What time is that on the show?
That would be at 8, after the 8:30 news.
Okay. Moving on to the texters now. The former owner, this is the 312, the former owner of our condo glued astrology turf on our concrete balcony.
Nice.
It's difficult to pull up the top layer, but then it leaves a mesh on the concrete. How do I get all that off?
There's no easy way. There is there are products called adhesive removers. They're highly toxic and they really smell, that could take that adhesive away once you peel up what is there. I mean, you're going to just have to by hand scrape and peel, scrape and peel. If you can get that to be, if you can get it to dry, in other words, if it exposes to the air and then that glue becomes dry,
right?
Then if you get a random orbit sander, an electric sander with some pretty, you know, aggressive grit of a sandpaper, you can sand it off. But it will also leave a little bit of a texture to the concrete, so you're going to have to do something when you're done, perhaps paint it with a concrete paint, which will probably look nice, but you have to be very careful about breathing those fumes, so you got to wear a mask, gloves, and eye protection.
Sounds like a great weekend.
Exactly.
Dennis has an exterior house paint question. Yes, Dennis, you've called the painter, Lou.
Hey, how's it going? I got my Clarkson pendants and paint all set. How soon can I get out there and start slapping it on with my big brush?
Well, the Clarkson Kensington is that paint that's exclusive at Ace, and the exterior, what's unique about that particular paint is it can be put down to 35 degrees outside. Now, while it's designed to do that, I would rather it be a little bit warmer, just because you don't want to ever stretch anything to its limit of what it's designed to do. You know, if we have a few days consistently in the mid-40s, and in particular overnight, that's the key, then you can go ahead and do it. But remember, 90% of a good paint job is the prep. And what I would tell you also is leave that bucket of paint inside, you know, prior to going outside, so that doesn't cool too much while you're putting it on. But it can be applied down to 35 degrees.
And you told us last week, as far as critters go, you know, a spray barrier on the outside of your house or lawn treatments or whatever to keep the critters out, you want the same thing, right? You want a couple of weeks of overnight lows in the mid to high 40s?
Yeah. This kind of weather, everybody's getting antsy, and I get it. I am too, right? I want to get out there and do stuff. But the ground temperature is just too low. And any kind of fertilizer, right now everything's on sale. You know, all the stores, the big boxes, the hardware stores, they're all trying to get people to think spring. So you can get great deals on fertilizer programs everywhere. And so, I mean, I would tell people, go take advantage of the deal because it's cheaper, but don't go home and say, oh, I'm going to fertilize, because it's just not going to stick.
See, he's very smart, and a handsome devil as well. He's Lou Manfredini, and he's on the radio tomorrow at 7 a.m. Then he's taking the rest of the weekend off. He'd like not to be bothered. He's going to sit around in his underpants.
No, you know what I'm going to do on Sunday? We're going to participate in the Northwest Side Irish Parade. You know, I have this classic old red truck, a big stake bed, 1951 Ford stake bed truck. So I got a bunch of kids throwing candy at people.
Oh, that's cool. You do know you're Italian, right?
I do. Well, I married my wife is half Irish.
We had one other question, by the way, from the 630. Does Lou have a puck in his pants? I can't make a phone call, and that's my only question.
Currently, I do not.
All right, but you may someday soon.
Perhaps. It would be an honor to be able to utter those words.
To shove a puck in your pants.
Correct.
Thank you. And good luck. I hope you win a Stevie Award today.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get to a quick break. We'll come back with the big story next. And thank you again, as always, to our friends at American Weathermaker. Well, here we go. The Stevie Awards are on. Did you enjoy my monologue?
Loved it.
Did you like the way I incorporated myself into various scenes of my show?
That was crazy.
Now, it's a beautiful morning to have the Stevie Awards. Again, the annual Stevie Awards, the epitome of the Stevies. A lot of people say the Stevies are a combination of the Academy Awards, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Tonys, the Vinnies.
A lot of people say that?
A lot of people say that.
Raspberries.
A lot of people say I like raspberries. It's all part of achievements in the Steve Cochran Show, and we're very excited. You know, we don't make you wait till the end of the show for Best Picture. We're about to award Best Guest.
Right now.
Best Guest. Let me go. Oh, by the way, I find that if I open all the envelopes, it saves money on swag bags.
Okay.
You know, because we were going to take a swag bag and just take some of the crap in the office and give it out to the various people who actually announce the winners, the presenters.
Right.
But we forgot, so we didn't have time. So,
here we go.
Again, this is Achievements in the Steve Cochran Show.
Right. Best Guest.
Best Guest. Of all the guests that we had last year, Best guest.
Best guest. This is someone who's...
I'm sorry, what?
This is someone who's just so excited, I'm sure, about the possibility.
Well, you think about the career. This is life-changing.
It is life-changing.
When you become best guest on the Steve Cochran Show, this is a huge deal. Huge deal.
It's like winning a Pulitzer.
This turns into a lot of money.
It's money. It's career opportunities. It's a lot of things. So, best guest.
Yeah, here we go.
And by the way, this is the first award of many we'll be giving out on the show today. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
go right to the best guest.
Later on, best musical performance.
Are you going to finish opening the envelope?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
It's a big envelope.
And the winner.
And the winner.
The winner of Best Guest 2015 on the Steve Cochran Show, Stacey St. Clair.
Woo! Woo! Hi, yes, Stacey.
Very, very excited. Stacey's making her way to the stage now. I don't know why she's calling in, but she's making her way to the stage. Good morning, Stacey. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm really good now.
Congratulations on winning the equivalent of Best Picture. You are the best guest for 2015.
That is very exciting and surprising. But I guess if you wake up at 5:12 enough to be on the show, you get a payback in the Stevie somehow.
Well, listen, is there anyone you'd like to thank? Because I don't want to get in your way. I'm going to stand over here and hold your Stevie.
Do I get like a little scroll underneath, like on the Oscars?
Yeah, we didn't think we'd do that because, you know, being a radio and everything, where would we scroll? But we thought you could go ahead and thank this. So go ahead, do your acceptance speech.
You know what? I'm going to thank myself first and foremost because I complained so much last year that I didn't win a Stevie that I feel like you guys invented a category and just made me the winner so you wouldn't have to listen to me whine. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. The music seems to indicate that we're out of time. Oh, what a shame. But we'll see you at the after party.
Okay, guys.
Stand by.
We didn't ask who she's wearing.
Well, we didn't have time, and once the band starts, we had to play her off. But winner of Best Guest in our first Stevie Award, Stacey St. Clair.
Stacey St. Clair for her Pulitzer Prize-worthy stories on College of DuPage.
Sure.
And basically getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be on the program.
Yeah, yes. Tremendous. Good for her. Good
Love
for Stacey.
She's awesome.
It's a big moment.
Stacey's getting ready to cover the Olympics in Rio as well.
Right, right. Does she only go places where the water's tainted?
I don't know. She might have been in Flint. I don't know.
Yeah, I would think she'd go to Flint. That would be the triumvirate for her. Bad Russian water, bad Rio water, bad Flint water. Yeah. 647, our next Stevie Award coming up in very short order here, will be Most Tired. Most Tired. Most Tired will be our next. Because we're all claimed to be tired, but who's the most tired?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get to that here in a little bit. At 647, Mary's back with your traffic trouble spots. Did you agree that Stacey should have been a winner there?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved her speech.
By the way, Ross, if anybody on the show except me talks too long, feel free to play them off as well.
Except for you?
Yeah, except for me. Yeah. Mary?
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
By the way, we have Worst Guest coming up next hour as well on the Stevie Awards. We just did Best Guest. We'll have Worst Guest and Most Tired coming up. Achievements in Steve Cochran Show 2015. Standing by is Elise Glink. Our friend Elise Glink knows more about money than we do. That's why we like to exploit her talents and not pay her. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
You mean I'm not the best guest? Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Well, you know,
I'm runner-up.
You and I reunited recently, so I don't know that you got in the qualifying period. You know what I'm saying? You may have missed the deadline.
Oh, well, thank God.
Yeah, so I don't
think
you're
feeling much better.
You should. All right, so explain to me why we have IRS troubles.
So this is kind of interesting. My husband Sam shows me a letter this week from the IRS, which basically said, Dear Elise and Sam, sorry to tell you this, but did you already file your income tax return? Because it just doesn't seem quite like the tax return we normally get from you. Well, sure enough, we are one of the something like 80 million people in this country who have had their tax information stolen. So what happened is the IRS had some people hack in again. This was a number of years ago, and they set up a four-digit PIN number for anybody who had had their identity stolen because people were doing refund fraud. In March, it happened again in a much larger way, and so what happens is a scamster will file a fake tax return, try to gin up all of your deductions, get as big a refund as possible, file it in your name, and then collect the money before you've even, you know, filed your tax returns. By the time you file, it's too late. So the IRS knows they have a massive, massive problem on their hands because of this latest data breach. And so they've set up a number of things that you can do to try and rectify the situation. But I got to tell you, it's just going to be nightmarish.
$6 billion in tax fraud reported by the IRS, and that's the stuff they caught. So do you have any idea how they breached your firewalls?
You know, I kind of think it is from the IRS itself, and in some ways they may just have put in randomized numbers, or there's a lot of data that is available to fill in the missing pieces. So if they were able to get a name and an address, they were probably easily, within about 6 seconds, able to get Social Security numbers and the like. And so for people who think that, oh, this is never going to happen to me, it's definitely going to happen, and it's why we all have to be much more vigilant about our identities, both online and then just what happens after it gets stolen.
The what happens after it gets stolen part is one of the really annoying pieces of the story. This isn't like losing your wallet and having to call a credit card company, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit worse than that, quite a lot, actually. You have to put a fraud alert on your credit information with one of the credit reporting agencies. And there are numbers at Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And once you do it for one of them, you can do it for all of them. It'll automatically sort of go between the three credit reporting agencies. If you have a credit monitoring service, like one of those three all the credit reporting agencies, the big ones offer it. You can pay for it online. It's something as little as $9 a month. It can be as high as $19 a month, something like that. Then you can just do it electronically, and you're constantly watching your credit. And that's kind of a good thing to do as well. LifeLock is interesting.
I'm a LifeLock guy.
Right. So LifeLock actually doesn't do anything proactively, but if something happens to you, then they've got, you know, whatever, a sea of people who then go and try and get things fixed.
Right.
So they take a slightly different approach to it, but people are happy with that as well.
Yeah, it works for me. Well, I'm sorry it happened to you.
You know, I'm sorry it happened to me too, but this isn't the first time that my identity's been stolen. We've had random credit card poachings, and, you know, we've been in restaurants and the servers, like, take an imprint. And, you know, there's things that happen because life is messy. But if you do run into tax ID fraud, the IRS has an identity theft affidavit. It's form 14039, and I guess I'll tweet that out or I'll send it to you if people have questions. And that's what you use if your e-filed federal tax return is rejected because somebody has already filed for you. You're going to need to fill out that form and then return the form and mail it or fax it to the IRS. And then you'll need to include, when you mail things to the IRS, include things that prove your identity, which I know is going to be scary for everybody altogether. But you are going to have to do that. There's a phone number that the IRS has at irs.gov. They've got a great website. You can call it. It's a toll-free number. And they have a publication, 4535, which helps for people who have had their identity stolen as well. And those are just some of the things that you're going to want to do. And I just want to reiterate, for those who have gone through this before and you got a four-digit PIN from the IRS, that whole thing has been breached and they have canceled that program. So don't think that if you have that, you're safe. You're not.
How much of this has to do with lack of funding for the IRS and lack of people? And by the way, the phone call thing, I tried to call the IRS and give them some money back that they erroneously paid me. And I never, ever got through on the phone after weeks of trying. And finally, I had to go to an office where I waited for 90 minutes to give them back. I think it was like $9,000 or something. Some of this to me is a lack of staff, lack of funding, and a lack of being able to pay for the protection they think we need.
You know, you may not like that you have to pay taxes, and that's fine. And there's all kinds of flat tax and free tax, and people are pushing around all sorts of things. Great. Until we actually move to those systems, I think we should fully fund the system that we have.
Amen.
And I think we should have, you know, the most modern computers and the toughest people working on security. And to a great extent, they do. And there's just some things that are going to get through no matter what. So It's complicated business. It's way above my pay grade.
You got to quit handing out your Social Security number left and right. Good God.
I like that. See, I wanted to do what LifeLock did, that guy, but he was ahead of me. So, you know, now people just take it.
I'm waiting for the Glink system. Should be coming soon.
I'm working on it.
ThinkGlink.com, at Glink on social media. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Continue with the Stevie Awards. Great achievements in the Steve Cochran Show. Oh, sorry. Before we go any further, though, last night, Andrea, you had a special event. Who would you like to thank?
I did. Well, first of all, Anna DeVlantis was our hostess with the mostest. This was the Trial of Antigone at the Field Museum, so we have to say a special thank you to everybody there. We had Patrick Fitzgerald on. He was one of the attorneys presenting the case, and Bob Clifford. Dan Webb was also there, and Pat Collins, too. And actually, we found Antigone not guilty of the crime. So basically,
who is representing that side?
Pat Fitzgerald and Pat Collins. So they basically.
Well, Pat Fitzgerald didn't lose much, does he?
No, he's great. He's great. And we have to say thanks to the judges, too. Judges Posner, Bauer, and Kokoris. And Judge Kokoris and his wife listen every morning.
So, good morning, Judge.
Good morning to Judge and his wife today.
All right. Well, nice job by you. And we have coming up this hour, of course, the puck is in someone's pants. And you know how this normally works. I give out a clue or two or three. Three at the most, and suddenly the tickets are gone. So you geniuses in this audience, you be ready to jump in because you never know who may have a puck in their pants. John Acosta is here. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning.
John, we have a show coming up on the 26th.
Yeah, at the Wilmette Theater.
Yes.
And it's, you know, here's the thing. It's this beautiful little theater. Mm-hmm. It's a tiny theater. It's going to be a great show.
It's not just a movie theater. There's
it's
a
not
stage
just,
there.
Right. Yeah. It is our theater. And tickets are going fast. We have Andrea Darlis will be on the
show. Stand-up comedy
very,
debut.
That's right.
Very excited.
That's right. You have to come out just to meet the morning crew, Kevin Powell, Ross Cochran.
They're both going to be doing stand-up as well, as yes. are you and I.
Yes.
And we'll have some other things we're doing. We're doing this thing where I swallow swords.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm also doing this thing where I cut Andrea into three pieces, and then I spin the boxes around, and I forget which part is which.
Yeah, I didn't know that was part of this at all.
Yep.
So yeah, the girl good. We did that before, who obviously is
it's
no longer with
longer
us.
Available.
Died. But
yeah.
Andre, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know
I'm
about
a nervous for
cutting
you.
Up my body part.
Yeah.
I just thought it was going to be
well, they're all good parts.
Tell a few jokes.
Top, bottom, and middle. I mean, they're all good.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and who knows? We may give a piece away.
It is a door prize.
So what are we doing about getting tickets for
you
this?
You have to go to WilmetteTheater.com. Go today to WilmetteTheater.com, or you can call the box office directly at 847-251-7424. We've got 2 weeks. It's this beautiful little theater watching Andrea and Kevin and Ross do comedy for the first time.
Very exciting. Are you ready? Can you play me the Hollywood music one more time? Because, you know, there's a long distance between us. Ah, there we go. All right, time for another award. Let's go to the awards now. This award is for Most Tired.
Most Tired.
2015, Most Tired on the Steve Cochran Show. Now, everybody's tired. Mary, you tired?
Well, I'm always tired.
Same here. I've been tired since 1983.
Thank goodness for Jan Usel.
Kevin, you're tired. You're young.
I'm tired. I actually feel refreshed the past couple of days after working in the afternoon show.
Yeah, sucking up to Rome. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
John, you're tired?
I am not tired.
No, you're complete idiot. Mary, are you tired?
I said, me, Mary?
Mary, too.
I'm quite awake, actually.
As long as Mary's working on the show for the next couple of weeks, I need to call you something else. Can I just call you Sandberg? What's the best thing
Sandberg
to do?
Works. I'll
Sandberg, are you tired?
I'm not tired, actually.
All right, well, why don't you and John go have a nice conversation, the two of you.
Okay.
Andrea, are you tired?
I am tired. Yeah, I'm always tired. Working for a living. All right, here we go. Most tired.
So we've all been nominated for this award.
Yes.
Correct.
Everyone on the show has been nominated.
Wow.
Just open this up, and again, I am announcing all the winners because it saves money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's go. Well, I did not see this coming. The winner of Most Tired 2015 and the winner of a Stevie Award, New father, Ross Cochran.
Oh,
of course, he's the most tired.
That makes sense.
He's absolutely the most tired. Ross making his way to the stage now. Ross, your thoughts?
Actually, Sandberg is going to accept on his behalf because he's napping.
Okay, all right. Well, congratulations. Ross couldn't be here today because he's napping in the back because he's very, very tired.
Isn't he producing the show today?
Yeah, he's tired.
Ah,
yeah, he's tired.
Got to nap somewhere.
Can we play the segment off? Do you have the music so we can play this segment off? Yeah, play the segment off. Stop producing the show and play this segment off for me.
That'd be number 38.
There we go. $7.15, we'll have another Stevie Award or two coming up. We also have, this is exciting, this is a late award edition. A lifetime achievement in the Steve Cochran Show for 2015 coming up. And there's no reason to act surprised about this. It's Donald Trump.
Oh.
Yeah, so a special award to Mr. Trump coming up.
Wow.
Have Sandberg standing by. She may need to accept that one as well, since I don't think he'll be here to pick it up himself. At 7:15... Does this microphone sound okay to you today?
Yeah.
It sounds okay to everybody else?
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like I have a cold.
Sounds tired.
Do you have a cold?
No, I'm fine.
Oh.
Totally fine.
No, it sounds fine.
Why do you have the clothespin on your nose?
Yeah, it just sounds muffled. It does sound like that. It sounds muffled. Nobody's getting that but me?
No.
No. No. Loud and clear.
No. Headphones?
Yeah, nobody's got that.
Maybe nothing? It's your ears.
Yeah.
Got to clean them out.
Thanks for sharing that with the crowd. Yeah. At 7:16, Mary's back with your traffic trouble spots. What do you? For this song, like 47 million times. I'd listen to it 47 million more.
This shit, that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin'. Living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on.
Ross, good news for you. I called Bruno Mars a couple days ago, and he's going to play Abigail Grace's first birthday party.
That's awesome. I appreciate you making that phone call.
Yeah. I said, Bruno, he goes, Steve, you want me to play Abigail Grace's first birthday party? Is that what you're calling? I said, yes. So we got that deal done.
Bruno's a big listener.
He is a big listener.
Did he say hot damn?
I did say hot damn. And nobody makes deals like I make deals. I just want people to know that. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, once Bruno Mars plays Abigail Grace's first birthday party, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge.
Huge.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know why Bruno Mars hasn't played her birthday party before? Because people are bad negotiators. I'm a great negotiator.
Well, she hasn't really had a birthday party
yet. That's a good point.
She's not yet won.
And I've been watching too many debates. It's 7:22. Before we get to an achievement in Stevie's of lifetime achievement at Stevie's, this is very exciting for me. It's time for another puck in the pants. We have taken a puck and we have stuffed it in a celebrity's pants. And this celebrity really is someone who is clue number one. Let me just give you clue number one. This is someone who is relatively new to the Steve Cochran world. But interestingly enough, while being new to the Steve Cochran world, this particular celebrity is quite advanced in years. I don't want to call him old. I'm not a name caller, but this is someone who is new to the show, but actually an older person.
New to the show, but an older person.
Yeah, and you can imagine how cranky they might be if they have a puck in their pants.
Yeah, big time.
Right? I mean, that can make you never in a good mood. So that is clue number one. I will give you clue number two coming up, and I'll give you clue number two right now.
Okay, good.
This is someone who is skilled in the knowledge of sports.
Dave Bennett.
Old and sports. I see why you'd go there, but that is incorrect.
It's hardly new to the show. Time. At least it's not a politician, though. Thank goodness.
Oh, I know.
Well,
I
you're think... assuming it's not a politician.
Well, it could be. There's a lot of them in town.
Yeah, and there's politicians who are very interested in sports.
You could have thrown a puck in their pants somewhere.
New to the show?
New to the show, an old person who is skilled in the knowledge of sports.
Oh,
you know what it is?
I do, but I'm not saying.
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay. It's my favorite part is when you absolutely don't know.
I know. And I go, oh, I don't know.
All right, so that's it. 312-981-7200. Time for another Stevie Award. This Stevie Award is very exciting. This is a lifetime achievement in Steve Cochran Show, and it all happened during 2015. started in June, really became the most talked about topic of the rest of the year. So partly I blame myself.
No.
The winner of a lifetime achievement in Steve Cochran Show.
Lifetime achievement. Oh, there was a quick envelope.
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time on Donald Trump.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you. I know what crazy is. I know all about crazies.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. I have the... But there's no better word than stupid.
I don't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal, so I don't want to get into it.
I'm really rich. I actually think I have the best temperament.
People love me. And you know what? I've been very successful. Everybody loves me.
I went to an Ivy League school.
He's not going to take any crap from anybody.
We have nobody in Washington that sits back and said, you're not going to raise that f***ing price. You understand me?
2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame.
He doesn't seem like a very bright guy.
I just want them to suffer.
The American dream is dead.
Time is short, and the road is long. In the breaking of the night, all that moment's gone.
It's an achievement in Steve Cochran like no other. It's one shining moment, but it's a career achievement in Steve Cochran's show. And by the way, the grammar doesn't have to matter because it doesn't matter to the winner. Donald Trump.
I think your giving this award to Donald Trump shows your complete unbiased attitude.
I'm a bigger person. I am a bigger person than most. You know, when it comes to me as a person, I'm huge.
So does this mean you're not going to make fun anymore because he's now just won this Lifetime Achievement Award?
I think we both know the
okay,
answer to that.
Right.
It's 7:26. We're back with a big story in a moment. And why are gas prices so high all of a sudden? The answer is pretty obvious, but we'll get to that in a moment on 720 WGN. We already have a winner.
I can't believe it.
Who's got a puck in their pants? We'll get to that in a second. First, why is gas so expensive? Gas prices have gone from about $1.30 a gallon to almost $2.30 a gallon in the last 30 days. And yesterday. Between yesterday and today, another quarter or more up in price per gallon all over the Midwest. It's the Midwest blend thing. It's the seasonal blend thing. Yeah, we don't know if it has to happen now. We don't know what the Midwest blend is. To me, it's like when you go out to dinner and the wine person brings over the wine and somebody at the table swishes it and looks at it for color and clarity and then takes a sip and then says, oh, I don't know, it's a little oaky. Nobody knows what the hell they're talking about when it comes to gas prices. But they're up $1 a gallon. Now, I will tell you this, $2.30 a gallon feels like a lot because it's not $1.30 a gallon. It wasn't that long ago. It was $3.75.
Remember that?
So take a breath, everybody. We're going to be fine.
And how strange is this? It's actually lower in Chicago. It's still the highest, higher than in the burbs.
But lower
but
than
as compared
we used
to
lead the country
yeah.
every single time.
Every
not so
time,
much
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
All right, the clues on guess who's got a puck in their pants. Here are the clues. This is someone who's new to the show but quite old. This is someone who has a tremendous knowledge of sports. This is someone, well, let me just get the winner.
Okay.
Dan, who has a puck in their pants?
Hey, Steve, it's the old coach.
You know what, Dan? It's people like you that make my day special.
Hello, Cochran. People think you're such a smartass. Well, the bad news is you ain't smart. Well, guess what? Good news is you're halfway there. Oh, yeah. I got a puck in my pants.
Dan, who are you going to take to the game?
Probably my wife.
Dan sounds sort of like the old coach, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Dan could be the old coach. Dan could be the old coach insulting me. All right, hold the line, Dan. Hold the line. We got to get information from you. I'm being told the coach is trying to call the show right now.
Oh.
Do I want to subject myself to this?
Yeah, we want to.
We'll give him some airtime.
We want to hear what he has to say.
Hey, Coach, thanks for the help today.
Yeah, I come for 720. I get hockey tickets.
No, you don't actually, Coach, you don't actually win the tickets. You're the guy with the puck in his pants.
I called this morning to get the hockey ticket, 720.
No, I'm sorry to tell you, you don't actually win the tickets. The tickets are actually given away to Dan. It's a pair of tickets to see the Hawks and the Blackhawks on Monday night. And Dan is eligible for four season tickets next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingandCooling.com or on Facebook. Isn't that exciting, Coach?
You want to tell me why you made me call to get free tickets and I don't even get the ticket?
We're going to have
some... You know what, Cochran? I don't like you. If your brain was full of chocolate, it wouldn't fill an M&M.
That's a good one.
You got to give him that.
More Stevie Awards coming up. And Jason DeSanto on last night's Republican debate. It's 7:31. Am I going to the big story here?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
7:40, for those of you old enough to remember 2007, 8, 9. And a little bit of 10. Jason DeSanto was a regular guest on the afternoon show. And then he joined a boy band for a while, and he wasn't able to do it. But he's back, and it's nice to see you. How are you?
It's great to be here. Famous, fleeting, boy band can only last for so long, and here I am.
I'm just glad that all our counseling worked out, and we were able to put this back together. Senior lecturer at Northwestern University for Law. By the way, sorry about the basketball game yesterday.
So close.
A really good game.
I actually haven't seen that last sequence of plays yet.
They were up by three. Let me, Kevin, jump in if I'm wrong on this, but they were up by three with less than a minute to go.
Then Michigan hit a three-pointer to tie it, and then after that, Northwestern just couldn't get anything going offensively. But there was some controversy late. There was a blatant travel the officials missed that would have given Northwestern the ball back. They didn't call it.
And that's because the Michigan Wolverines are huge cheaters.
They're cheaters, and they paid off the officials.
Yes, that's what we just wanted to say. Jason has appeared as a First Amendment expert on national radio. You see him on Chicago Tonight all the time. He does birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. And tell me, the kids you're working with at Northwestern now, what's the main thrust of teaching for you?
Steve, it's really law and communication. So a lot of that is public advocacy,
okay,
trying to make lawyers better in the public sphere, public arena, and also some First Amendment stuff, too.
You've studied speech giving, speech making, speech writing, debate presentation, things of that nature for a long time. Why does it feel like we've had more debates than ever?
Because they've been repeating themselves.
Actually less than 2012.
Yeah, that's right. It is actually less, but they've been a little more vitriolic, more candidates on stage for a longer period of time, fewer candidates dropping out earlier in the cycle. And the dynamic between these two, between all of these folks, have gotten used to each other, and not in a good way. So I think that's why it feels like it's gone on for a long time.
How does it, I want to get to the Republicans from last night, but let me start with the Democrats for a second. How does it help Hillary Clinton to smack Bruce Rauner around? Because regardless how you feel about the governor, there's a lot of voters in the middle who may well be on the side of, look, how's this not the Democrats' fault in any way? How's this not Madigan's fault in any way? Who have a little more intimate knowledge of the state. It doesn't seem like she was prepared very well to go as hard as she did after Rauner yesterday in a state she really has to have.
Well, you have to remember, though, in a Democratic primary, she feels like she has locked down more moderate Democrats, even more right-leaning Democrats.
Do you think that's true?
I mean,
after what Bernie did in Michigan, because I don't know the answer to that. I think she's clearly the winner here, but I think it's dangerous.
He did better among higher income Democrats in Michigan than he had any place else.
Yeah.
Those making over $100,000. But I think if you're doing a calculation, if you're her and you're doing a calculation, you know that where you want to drive your turnout is in more left-leaning areas, particularly areas that have been hit hardest by the budget impasse in Illinois. So I think it's actually shrewd politics.
Oh, you thought it was good then?
Yeah.
What about Bernie? What do you make of Bernie? And Bernie's like Who's Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction? Suddenly he sits up in the tub and he's got a knife. He killed your bunny once, Hillary. He'll do it again. He just won't go away in her world.
Yeah, my head's still spinning with that analogy, so I'm going to have to just kind of take a second and think about it.
Picture Bernie in the tub. All right, now stop.
Right. He has become a better candidate. He has been a candidate of conviction all the way along, and that has been, to the extent he has a brand, that integrity is his brand, but he's also very savvy. He's become a better debater. We're going to talk about debates. He's just become a better, tighter debater. He presents himself better in that situation. And I think he has a good sense for how to attack her weaknesses. And campaigns, and particularly debates, are all about contrast. He's very good at identifying contrast, driving the contrast, and then getting back to how that contrast illustrates that he's really the candidate who's the candidate of conviction and the candidate of the times.
Jason, got to ask you, you're talking about debates. People I know are tired of the mudslinging. When they say Rubio needs to go on the offensive, which he has, I think that now is more – that has hurt him somewhat. Do you see the candidates – do you see a need for attacking? I mean, do you think people are just tired of hearing all the attacks?
I think people say that they're tired of attacks, but I think that it is good to know what distinguishes candidates from each other. And so when we think about putting somebody into a debate setting – you're trying to get them to drive their message, and that means not only their own positive message about themselves, but actually to the point I was making a minute ago about Bernie Sanders, how his message contrasts with Hillary and fits with what people are thinking at home. Sometimes you can only do that by contrasting the position you've taken with the position somebody else has taken. What people do tire of is talking about the size of somebody's hands and related appendages. That becomes old after a while. And so, for example, if you show people a series of negative ads, people are generally going to say, we don't like negative advertising. But most of the research indicates that contrast ads actually work. They work to change people's opinions. And then you reach a saturation point where people are just tired of all of them. So
I don't like the contrast ads because I was saying to Steve yesterday, they'll be attacking whoever it is. And I don't even know who the person running is. They're saying, you know, candidate X is terrible and he's done this and he's done this and he's done this. And I don't even know who they're referring to. Yeah, who they're referring to.
A lot of that super PAC stuff, right?
Exactly.
So let's do traffic here. But we come back. How big a deal is consistency is the question I'd like you to take on here, because everybody goes, look, because Bernie has been consistent. He's been consistent in his message. Hillary's been consistent in her message on the Republican side. I think Cruz has been consistent, frightening, and Kasich has been consistent. Trump gets points for consistency when I think he's been he's fluctuated the entire time, and he's ready to flip and flop. So how is he getting over? That's what I'd like you to answer for me, and that way my head won't explode. It's 7:46. Mary, what do you have in your traffic trouble spots? Monday, it's my surprise birthday show. So nobody will be more surprised than me. And some of you may be saying, oh, God, another birthday where you're just going to make a huge spectacle of yourself and it's just going to be all a bunch of birthday wall-to-wall. Yeah, probably.
But we do have some surprises you don't know about.
Oh, is that right?
No. Because you hate surprises.
Aren't we supposed to bump it back a week? So the 21st, isn't that the normal trend of the show?
It is a normal trend of the show, but we have a staff change coming up next week, so we need to actually do it on the day.
Gotcha.
By the way, that staff change is Kevin. You're gone. You're out.
Gone from the radio station?
I swear I thought it was me.
It's a good run, guys. It's been
he
fun
looked
working
at me
with
when
you.
He said, I swear I thought it was me.
Yeah. Kevin will be in Arizona next week. Kevin's going to be covering spring training. So that'll be good. We'll hear from Kevin in Arizona all next week.
Check in every morning. Should be fun.
And we'll get back to more Stevie Awards here in just a little bit. Who do we thank for the early birthday cake?
That would be Pete Fasano.
Ah, yeah, he's the best.
Pies by Fasano, they're delicious. You can get them at Mariano's and all your favorite grocery stores. But today he dropped off a special cake. He made a cake for Steve. For
big old chocolate
birthday.
Cake.
Yeah, thank you to Pete. Piesbyfasano.com. Check them out. They're phenomenal.
What's on the cake?
A picture of me.
And you didn't think you could get your head on a cake.
Oh, it's a big cake. Yeah. And usually we'll take the food that we have from the morning show, whatever it is, and we put it out in the kitchen upstairs on the 7th floor. And this is what happens. Gah! Gah! As people come in and start attacking.
True.
Oh, we've got pizza coming today. That's exciting.
Yes. Oh, pizza and cake.
Pizza and cake.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Nice healthy
right.
Friday.
Great day.
It's a prelude to Steve's birthday.
Right.
It's going to be like wedding the palace.
I'm telling you, as of Tuesday, I got to get started training for Rio or I'm never going to be ready.
Keep some leftovers because I haven't scheduled anything for Monday yet. So,
lobster rolls.
Put it in the fridge.
Dean Richards coming up, Hawkopedia coming up, more Stevie Awards, and Sacha Baron Cohen, I think, unless I cancel the interview 5 minutes before he's scheduled. The more I learn about this movie, the more disturbed I am that I'm going to talk to him. Jason DeSanto's here. Jason, what are the age range of the kids you're teaching? Are they grad students or regular kids?
Those are law students. Yeah. So they're most of them have been out for a couple of years, had some other work, and then they've come back to get their law degree. So that's them, and then there's some on the Evanston campus. We have an executive communication program there, and those folks are mid-career. And they come back for a master's in communication.
What do you find for the 18 to 25-year-old sector in regards to optimism about their future now compared to, you know, 7, 8 years ago when you and I would talk?
It's better. It's better. When we were having those conversations, yeah, we were right in the midst of the Great Recession and the fallout from that. And there were trailing consequences from that. We had all the disaster, and then slowly over time, more and more of the consequences would become clear. Offers that had been right. given to people would be pulled before they could even start work. You hear much less of that now. So there's more optimism than there was during that time.
You talked about the consistency of Bernie's message. The inconsistencies of Trump don't seem to stick in any way, shape, or form. He basically has said, look, I may change on the whole crazy immigration thing.
Size of the wall.
You know, anybody, I believe he wrote it up this way, any leader who's not willing to adjust his views isn't a very good leader. This would be the same guy that says, what was the grammatical trap he fell into the other day? Oh, Islam hates us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Islam hates. So in other words, anything Donald Trump is saying could be changed at a moment's notice. Why is he not getting dinged for that?
Well, you put your finger on it right there with the last thing you said, the comment about Islam hates us. He is consistent, and he is viewed consistently on an emotional and visceral level. The people who like Trump feel like they can trust Trump because he channels and seems to embody their anger, their rage, their anxiety that's been percolating for the past few years. We talk about some people feeling more optimistic about the future, a lot of the people that I deal with every single day, but that's not most people.
Yeah, that's true.
And because of that, he represents that. And so, logically, what he says often doesn't make sense. There are positions that'll change. But emotionally, viscerally, he's captured that. And trust is mostly about whether somebody feels like you're strong enough to embody what they believe in and have just enough likability where they feel like they can relate to you. And he embodies that. And actually, if you watched the debate last night, there was an interesting distinction between he and Cruz where he and Cruz would both talk about how angry they were about a situation, but Cruz kept trying to pivot to the solutions. Anger isn't enough. And Cruz said that on several issues, including tariffs. He said you can't just say China bad, things like Islam bad. You need solutions. And he started at the beginning and all the way to the end trying to distinguish himself from Trump on the solution part of the equation.
Did he cut through?
No, not really. Probably moved a few votes, but probably not that many, and not from Trump is my sense, because persuasion is about you have to persuade people of a problem and of a solution, and Trump has locked down the idea that he understands the problem. And because of that, he has credibility with people, even if logically speaking,
That's the part that frightens me the most, because
yeah,
because I understanding the problem, even if you believe he understands the problem. You know, I can look at a fire in a house and go, well, look, it's on fire. I understand the problem. What am I going to do to put the fire out? Am I going to call the fire department? No, am I going to give them the proper address?
No, you're going to build a flame retardant wall.
That's the part that's most frightening about this movement to me is it's all emotion and it's nothing practical.
Yeah, and actually there's an echo of it on the other side, a very different kind of version of it. But if you think of persuasion as being the same thing, you have to persuade somebody there's a problem, you have to persuade somebody there's a solution. On the Democratic side, Bernie has locked down a lot of the, here's the problem, I understand the problem, it's an economy that's left you behind. Hillary's the one who keeps saying, yes, but I'm a progressive who can, what, get things done. She's on the solution side. And so you have these two poles, and really there hasn't been one candidate yet on either side who's been able to hold and lock down both of those successfully.
All elections are polarizing But do you find this the most polarizing, where people are literally saying, all right, I don't even know who I'm going to vote for at this point?
I think I hear more, see more, and to some extent myself even feel a little bit more. I'm not sure I have a good sense of what's actually happening from day to day. There's kind of this rolling sense of mystification of, and I think Steve just hit on it, which is, you know, what terrifies him, if I can paraphrase.
No, that's the right word.
They're cowering. Is you know, most of this particular movement is built on this kind of emotion, and there's a little bit of curiosity about that, if not just being baffled, because it seems out of the norm. And I feel like there's more of that, and I think that's why there's more discussion about, for example, the party system becoming somewhat untethered, that the alliances that used to form between the parties somewhat uneasily but more or less naturally by the time conventions would roll around will be harder to reform this time around. So I do feel like there's more of that. And I feel like that's not so much a function of 2016 as much a function of, I think it's something we've been building to over time. Look just on the Republican side, this issue of trade that started the Democratic debate the other night, started the Republican debate last night. And now there's all kinds of cross cleavages in the party on that issue. And a few years ago, you would have identified it maybe with Dick Gebhardt on the left. Mm-hmm. 2008, maybe, or 2012, maybe.
Yeah,
Rick
you knew
Santorum.
The players were and where what team they were on.
Yeah, but you started to hear it a little bit with like Rick Santorum in 2012 on the Republican side. But that's been going for a while, and I think now it's starting to hit a full percolation.
This is, and obviously we'll talk more about this on the air as the days and weeks roll on here. But as it stands right now, it certainly looks like it's Trump-Hillary. So. Doesn't that mean we unfortunately joke about this every presidential cycle? It's the least worst alternative. It's never been bigger, least and worst than this, because you'll have people who fear Trump versus people who have no trust in Hillary. And to me, the vote then would come down to for maybe the majority of the country, who's going to do the least damage, not who's going to do the most good. What does that say about the shape of the system?
I'll say this, and maybe this cuts against the grain a little bit. It's hard to run for president. And I think if you make it to the finish line on one side or the other, you have run a gauntlet. And that does say something about your resilience, if nothing else. So we might look at the choice that we're presented with and think that it's unpalatable, but it does represent two people who've been willing to put themselves out there and have been strong in doing it. And
hey, Charles Manson's still alive, you know, and he's been in prison for a lot of years. Just surviving doesn't mean you're still not a cockroach.
I am going to go back. I'm going to get that bumper sticker. I'm putting it on my car tonight.
I am legitimately concerned about the future. I know you are as well. You got to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you're going to spend a lot of time crying. I think it's an incredibly poor field of candidates that have made it this far. And we're going to elect somebody. And what we ultimately know is there's a big difference between running and governing. And once you get the job, you still have to deal with a little something called Congress. And we know what a pain in the ass they are. And the Supreme Court. Oh, by the way, they're missing one. There's a lot to be done. I still wonder if sometimes that Donald Trump doesn't wake up in the morning and go, what the hell am I doing? I used to be able to just do The Apprentice.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's surprised he got where he got.
Oh, he's
got
to be. He's got to be. You know, Bernie is.
I don't think so, actually.
You think so? That's interesting.
I don't think he's surprised.
You really don't?
No, I don't.
Well, that's interesting. You don't think it because he feels like this is what he should have done forever?
No, because I feel like he probably, and I don't know, but I think he probably feels like he's been in the right place all this time, and now events have conspired, the situation's got bad enough that everybody sort of sees it the way he sees it. And look, last few years, Tea Party movement, Occupy movement, anxiety, dislocation. Right. That's what he's talking about, and it's something fundamental about the system.
That's frightening, too, if Bernie thinks he's the chosen one. It's my time. Jason DeSanto, where do we follow you on social media?
At Jason DeSanto.
Good Twitter. Job by you.
Thanks. Yeah, I found it. DeSanto. I found it. I got it and just been Good cultivating it. Yeah.
And you come back and do this again?
Absolutely.
Nice to see
Love
you.
Love doing man. It.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or just a kid.
8:12, and Dean, it's an exciting day here. We're presenting. I know you're sick.
No, I'm okay.
We're presenting the Stevie Awards for achievements in Steve Cochran Show.
That's why I got out of my sick bed.
It was very exciting. We have another award to present right here. We didn't have the music. Do you have the music? Good, hit the music. I mean, when you're ready, just hit the music. Yeah, we're short on time. All right, so this Stevie Award, Dean, very exciting. This Stevie is least likely to appear on the show. Least likely to appear on the show.
It's a big envelope.
That's just one side.
It's not done yet.
Big envelope, Donald Trump.
Oh. I never knew why people blew into envelopes. I just want to do it. The winner is Speaker of the State House of Illinois, Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan did not show up to accept his award or make an acceptance speech. We'll accept it on his behalf.
How many is this for him now?
Well, actually, last year it was Rahm, and then Rahm's done the show many times.
Oh. Maybe this will be the catalyst that Mike Madigan needs, and he'll start appearing on the show in 2020.
He's got to come get his award.
Maybe Dean and I will regrow hair.
Yes.
He was on my podcast last night. We talked about this.
Is that right? That's great, John. Thank you. All right. Well, how you feeling, Dean?
I feel much better. Much better. Had a little cold for a couple of days, just out of nowhere. There's something going on. There's something going around, some kind of virus.
And do you think it's deadly?
I do. I think it's intentional. I'd like to see the presidential candidates who are tripping over each other in Chicago. I'd like to see them talk about this plague that we have on us. Right now,
it's a pox. It's a pox and a plague.
It's a pox and a plague. Somebody talk about curing the common cold, please.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that nobody wants. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
This is my fake passion. This is my fake political passion.
Steve, I would like to build a wall around this virus.
Isolate it while you can.
I would like to have a quarantine and not let the virus in the United States. Build a wall.
All right. Now, I have a question for you. I know we're limited in time today. But I believe I've made a mistake.
No.
Sacha Baron Cohen is scheduled to appear on the show next hour.
Uh-oh.
And I heard quite a bit about the movie yesterday.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if this is a movie I should promote.
Well, it's not a very funny. I'm a huge Sacha Baron Cohen fan.
I think he's very funny.
Ali G, I laugh out loud when I see it. If I see Borat on, I stop and watch it. I laugh out loud at Borat.
But there are times when he goes so far over the line for unnecessary reasons. And
mostly, I just don't think the movie is that funny. I mean, I think his other movies have been very cleverly written. Outrageously performed. I mean, he's got Courage of Steel to some of the things that he's done, but this one really focuses on below the belt humor. It's body part jokes. It's body fluid jokes. I mean, if you were a proctologist, you would see less of a certain part of the human body than you see in this.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Movie. I mean, it's a below the belt, gross out comedy, more than a clever comedy than he's given us in the past. Number one. Number two, I know.
Are elephants, I've heard a little bit about this movie. Are elephants protesting the film?
Elephants should be protesting the film. It's like elephant, some scenes are like elephant porn.
Yeah.
Seen from an internal perspective.
Okay, that's really gross.
Yeah, that's the part that concerns me.
There's that, and for some reason he's got an obsession. AIDS seems to be a running joke in this movie.
How is that funny?
I get that he's irreverent. I get that he goes places that are supposed to be off limits. I don't see anything funny about that. Or, you know, there's a leukemia joke in here, too. Hey, talk to some parents whose kids have leukemia and see how funny leukemia is.
So you guys had him on. Why did you have him on?
I was off yesterday, so I'm distancing myself from this. I think we had him on because he's Sacha Baron Cohen, and you know that it can be very unpredictable. I'm sure when he's on, he's going to tell, he's already said, I'm not spoiling anything, I guess, that Donald Trump gets AIDS in this movie, and he's got, a joke that he's been telling on every single interview that AIDS has filed a lawsuit. They don't want to be associated with Donald Trump.
I got to cancel this guy. Don't I have to cancel this guy?
I don't know. I just don't think the movie is. I wasn't so much as offended. I mean, I don't think that certain things are funny. You know, you've toured children's hospitals, and so have I. Yeah. I just don't think there's one thing funny about leukemia. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I've known people.
Now, whooping cough is hilarious.
Right. You give me a good rash, and I'm with you on something
right.
like that.
Right,
but
right. Prickly heat. Yeah. Prickly heat is a comedy goldmine.
Yeah. Mostly, I just don't. I just didn't think it was.
So, Brothers Grimsby, what'd you give it for a grade?
I gave it a D.
Wow.
Gave it a Dean's List D. First time ever I've given him a bad review. Even his bad movies, Bruno, which kind of universally got panned, I found some humor in the. It was cleverly written. Same with Dictator. There were some clever parts in it. This one is pure shock value.
Why don't I leave it up to you? Should I leave it up to the audience?
Well, that's probably a terrible idea. Give my best regards.
This is just, I mean, Abigail just called and said, Grandpa, please don't interview Sacha Baron Cohen.
All right, well, I think you know how this is going to end then. 312-981-7200, phones or text. It's 818, and before Dean goes, I want you to, because I know you got to go do a TV thing, what's this 10 Cloverfield Lane, any good?
It's a claustrophobic thriller woman who is being held captive in a basement of a guy's house. John Goodman plays the creepy guy. He claims that he's keeping her down there because there's been some sort of attack on the outside and is protecting her. But as this movie develops, you're not sure if he's just a weirdo, who's holding a woman chained in his basement. She's trying to get out. He's not letting her out, claiming that he's trying to save her life. You don't really know what's happening. This movie just really effectively strings you along. Really good nail biter. Gave it a Dean's List B.
Yeah, and John Goodman's great.
John Goodman is fantastic in everything that he does.
So, is he into Brothers Grimsby?
He's not. He's not, and I don't believe he's ever done a scene inside of an elephant before either.
Last question. Rebel Wilson said she was drugged at a nightclub. She's actually in that Sacha Baron Cohen
movie.
She is.
She plays the wife of Sacha Baron Cohen's character in the movie. Interestingly, in her last movie, How to Be Single, she played wild child, always drunk, always partying, always hungover. She tweeted last night that she was at a nightclub with some friends, and somebody spiked her drink that she got disoriented. She got woozy. Fortunately, she made it home safely, but she said she felt like she got hit by a truck and, tweeted out the message, to people who are out partying, be careful. You don't know what's going to happen when you're in a bar.
It's Dean Richards. He's got to go do TV, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Feel better. Happy. It's an incredible night. I was asked a few moments ago. Yeah, I know it's only 8:25 in the morning, but, all the award shows are at night. And as we continue with the Stevie Awards, great achievements in Steve Cochran for 2015, somebody said, Steve, who you're wearing? And once again this year, I'm wearing Dockers, my designer Dockers. Dick Dockers is actually his name. And he put this little something together, a little ensemble, as I like to call it. And frankly, I've never felt sexier.
It's nice that you stay true to your favorite designer.
Thank you.
You know, Versace.
Thank you.
Vera Wang Docker.
Yeah. You remember the one year I went TJ Maxx? And it turns out TJ Maxx is a store. It's not really a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we continue with the Stevie Awards, worst guest? Is that what we're up to? Worst guest?
Yeah, we can do that.
Worst guest. Worst guest for 2015. We had several nominees for worst guest. But I think it's clear the winner is Ronda Rousey. What's your long-term goal? What do you want to do with the rest of your life?
I don't know, man. That's a pretty intense question. What do you want to do the rest of your life?
Well, finish this interview eventually. But, for now, I just want to talk about your book, Rousey, R-O-U-S-E-Y, that's out and available everywhere. And that, by the way, was the high point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that before or after she yawned?
I think that was after.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the middle of her interview promoting her book.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I felt badly about keeping her awake to plug her own book. Here's what a show business plug should sound like. My friend Paul Williams is here. Paul, when did we start working together?
1985. Yeah.
And here we are, a scant 31 years later. You're the king of Nashville. And you're in town for what show?
Josh Abbott Band tonight at Joe's on Weed Street.
What do we need to know about the Josh Abbott Band?
They're playing about 130 shows a year.
That's a lot.
And great band out of Texas.
Who will they remind me of?
who will they remind you of?
What's your elevator pitch for the Josh Abbott Band?
It's real country. It's fiddles and banjo.
Oh, it's old school.
And great voice. Yeah, it's a seven-piece band.
It's an actual band that plays old school country.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it twangy?
No.
Not twangy. It's cool.
Yeah. Like last night, they ripped off a little Led Zeppelin in the
set.
Is
that right?
Yeah.
So, now you realize you've reached an age where you shouldn't be up that late.
Oh, I did look around the room and said, I'm these kids' dad.
But Josh Abbott Band, what's a website you'd send people to find out more about Josh Abbott Band?
JoshAbbottBand.com.
Two B's?
Two B's, two T's.
Abbott, A-B-B-O-T-T.
Yes, the P is silent, like the P in urine.
You know, just because you left Nashville doesn't mean you need to leave Nashville behind.
I just got that.
Yeah. Well, he's been up longer or less than we have. So Josh Abbott Band, who else are you working with?
A
lot of new acts?
Yeah, a new artist. We're not even ready to take her to radio. Her name is Chandler Stevens. She's from Florida.
And I'm guessing it's not her real name.
No, it is.
No, come
it
on.
It is. That's her real name.
Beautiful girl?
Yes, 21-year-old from Lake Mary, Florida.
Where'd you find her?
She moved to Nashville a couple of years ago and started singing and songwriting, and we've hooked her up with a great producer, and now we've got to put together a band. But we got a little airplay on Sirius XM a couple of weeks ago on their On the Horizon deal, and we're getting there. It's
well,
fun.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And good for you for all the success, because Paul has been working with major companies for years, and he finally decided to tell them all to take a flying leap, and he's running his own show now. And we love Nashville. You know, we're down in Nashville.
Golf down there, don't you?
We'll play a little golf there, but, you know, Spike Odell did the morning show here forever, moved to Nashville. He's got 48 grandchildren now.
Yeah.
And we were down for the Stanley Cup for the playoffs. What's the deal with the Predators fans? Do they just linger within, like, half a block of that Bridgestone Center?
Well, they had a bunch of free entertainment out there. And, yeah.
I got to tell you.
You're in town. You stopped by my window and knocked on my window like I did yours?
Well, we were going to come by your window, and our mutual friend, Brian Phillips, who's a big show business muckety-muck.
Won't come into town. No, the traffic's horrible. I can't be seen in town.
He said, don't bother Paul. Paul's very busy. No, you were out of town that weekend. We talked. This is another vestige, I think, of your aging system.
You're talking about the All-Star game?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did talk. I don't remember much, but I do remember that. The Preds and the Blackhawks last spring.
Not a Predators fan. I'm sorry. I'm a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, and it's hard not to be, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can you hang around a second before your bus comes?
I would love to. All right, I'm still waiting for my Stevie Award.
Yes, that could be upcoming at any moment. We have more Stevies coming up. Paul, I should say it's Ross. Ross, what is your next Stevie Award on the list?
The next one is Most Confused.
Do we have time for this, or should we wait a segment?
I think you could do it here.
This is very exciting. The award for Most Confused. Again, achievements in Steve Cochran Show.
Most Confused.
For 2015.
I have no idea. The envelope.
Most Confused,
most
2015.
Confused.
Our own Mary Vandeveld. Mary, congratulations.
What?
Roll the clip.
Yeah. What?
Okay.
But how do you find our backups? What's going on?
We'll explain this to Mary off the air in just a second.
Big question. Andrew Luck for Drew Brees. All right.
Oh, Steve, that was a dumb move.
Thank you.
Wait, do we have the same teams every week then?
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
there's one. I don't have any quarterbacks in my back.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I do not. That's... Is that BN?
Correct. BN.
Bench.
Yes. And
that stands for bench?
What would you like a different?
I don't know. Could we just have a B? Yeah. What? That's is that BN?
Further down.
It says BN.
Yeah,
oh, there's
BN.
A bench?
Where would the backup quarterback be listed?
Yes, I don't see mine. What's going on? What?
That is so good. That is so good.
Oh, Mary, congratulations. Do you have an acceptance speech? Oh, hold on, Mary. I might actually turn you back
on.
Hello? Do you have an acceptance speech?
I'm speechless. Am I supposed to be happy about this?
See, she's even confused. Even her acceptance speech, she's confused. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for...
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for another fine year of confused service on the Steve Cochran Show. Going to the big story. Quick break and a big story next on 720 WGN.
Don't need
It's a great hook. It's a great hook.
That's what my wife said at the wedding.
The Josh Abbott Band, joshabbottband.com. With Joe's on Weed Street tonight?
Yes. Yes.
So
tickets are still available.
And go see him.
Yes.
That's cool. That's a good sound.
Yeah. And Carly Pierce is the female on it. She's opening the show tonight.
Nice.
She's an unsigned Nashville artist.
Joe's well is done such by a you. Great venue, too. Yeah.
Paul and I worked at a radio venue. Station in Minneapolis called KDWB, which at the time was the biggest, we used to call it Top 40, biggest hits radio station in the country. And Paul eventually rose to management, and he was one of those people that had to tell me to shut up and play a couple more records.
I keep waiting for a Richard Marx record this morning. I'm not getting one.
We had good times.
But you'd hit a nice post, though. That's why I liked, you know, you could always...
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
The timing is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. We were talking about this the other day. There is no less important skill on the planet than to be able to talk up a record.
Yeah.
But, you know, old disc jockeys never die. They just do it alone in the car.
I was talking to the program director at the Detroit country station, and he goes, Paul, I have a special guest in the room for you. It was Bo Daniels, our old night guy.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, he does afternoons in Detroit now.
Wow, this is a guy who was an old Tennessee country boy.
Yeah, Tullahoma.
Yeah, and big as a house.
Mm-hmm.
Still big boy, I assume. Mm-hmm. He didn't shrink up on us, did he?
No, yeah. Bald, striking.
Yeah, well, get in line.
Striking,
yeah.
I like that.
Get in line. And hope he's well, health-wise.
He's great, yeah. Good. He does afternoons.
And there is another guy who I don't know if you ever crossed paths with, but a name that a lot of Chicago listeners would know, a producer named Grunwald.
Yeah, he's there. He's at the country
doing a morning
station
show.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Same building.
So.
And their morning guy's my old morning guy from Dallas.
Who is?
Bobby Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Mitchell. Bobby Mitchell. Didn't Bobby Mitchell fill in here at one point or something? Oh,
boy. Ten plus years ago?
Yeah, when the world-famous Kevin Matheny... came through. He brought a bunch of old disc jockeys here to try to have him do talk shows.
Yeah, Randy Miller.
Randy Miller was one of them. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin's dead now. It's 8:43, and do we have time to do another Stevie Award? So, or it's up to you, Ross Cochran. Should we wait on that?
How about we do the Hawkopedia?
Hawkopedia is a good call. Every time the Hawks have a game, we try to teach you a little bit, and Dave Ennett has done it again. This Hawkopedia is sponsored by Freshwave, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks, as the Hawks are playing in Dallas tonight.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Hawkopedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
In today's Hawkopedia, of all the changes in the Blackhawks this past offseason, the ones that seemed most worrisome to Blackhawks fans were the departures of two key members of the Hawks to the division rival Dallas Stars, Patrick Sharp and Johnny Oduya, the Dallas Hawks. And as the Hawks prepare to play the Stars for the fourth time tonight, a little update on those two. Sharp has missed the Stars' last three games with a lower body injury, an injury which he says he's been trying to play through all year. On the year, Sharp has 17 goals and 30 assists and five game-winning goals. He's the fifth leading scorer on the league's highest-scoring team. Oduya signed a two-year, $7.5 million deal with the Stars last summer. He has four goals and 14 assists, the most goals and points for Oduya since 2009. Both Sharp and Oduya have played the previous three meetings with the Blackhawks. Sharp had a goal and an assist in the first meeting. Oduya is plus three against his former team, which looks to even up the season series at two when they meet in Dallas tonight. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
Clock Hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. We continue with the Stevie Awards. Bigger than the Grammys, the Academy Awards, and the Tonys, it's the Stevie Awards. It's our annual look back at the year in achievement on the Steve Cochran Show. What are we up to, Ross? What award are we handing out now?
Let's go with Best Musical Performance.
Oh, Best Musical Performance. John DeCoste is here. And, John, I like your chances of being nominated since you are the musical director of the show.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed.
We're the nominees, Ross. We had several nominees.
Yes, we do. We have a John original from Kim Potts.
Oh, the Kim Potts theme song.
Right.
Okay.
We have one of the many hit songs from the Broadway musical Hamilton.
Okay. All right. All right. So you're up against Hamilton, hottest show on Broadway.
And we have I believe it's the Oakland Christian Academy, one of the choirs that came in during over Christmas.
Oh, that's good. Do we have clips for any of that?
We do.
All right. Let me hear it.
Well, who would you like first?
I'd like the clip from the Oakland Christian Academy.
Let's take it up. Hey! Hey! Oh, happy day!
Oh, happy day!
I mean, that's tough. That is tough.
Wow, too bad we don't get a vote.
That is really
How come
tough.
You had to put them in there?
It's really tough. By the way, again, to remind you, that was the folks that had the little kid who, when I asked him how old he thought I was, he said 75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. Like, really cute.
He was
kid.
Like 2 years off.
Yeah. Really cute kid. And, of course, you mentioned also you're up against Hamilton, the Broadway play. But can we hear the Kim Potts theme song? This is what John did. She's the Yahoo TV gal. Gives us all the TV information.
Her Downton Abbey is all over. Also American Idol. Need someone inside with some inside info. All shows across the nation get updates from this station. On GN, Steve Cochran Morning Show. The best of the biz, she is Kim Potts, TV screener who working for Yahoo.com. You just have to ask and then listen, cause she's in the know, and she knows the shows that will stay or go. I'm just gonna hear what she has to say. There ain't no better reason this entire TV season to listen to Kim Potts today.
By the way, that's Lady Gaga doing the Kim Potts theme song. I don't know if you could tell, but Lady Gaga does a lot of tributes. And that's her tribute to you, John. You know, I actually have a professional music mogul in studio, Paul Williams, here to promote the Josh Abbott Band. What did you think?
Can I have your pen? I want to sign him right now.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's pretty good.
Big record company contract. You get your first tapes or albums for 10 cents, and then you just have to buy five more.
That's exactly right.
I was going to say, I'm looking at an invoice. I'm looking at an invoice I'm signing. What is this?
All right, so let's go to the envelope. Oh, I'm sorry, John. That was the wrong envelope. Let me go to the envelope.
No, it should be.
Well, John, I'm sorry to tell you that you've just won,
son of a gun,
best musical performance on the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my God. I want to thank Alvin, Barbara, Deli, Eric, Flossie, Gil, Henrietta, Evo, Juliet, Kiko, Lorena, Manuel, Nardia, Octave, Odal, Polo, Rachel, Simon, Trudy, Vance, Winnie, Xavier.
Who's Octave?
I don't know. I'm just reading.
Well, that music can only mean one thing. That John's time is up. But congratulations. Where will you place your Stevie Award? And again, for people that aren't aware, the Stevie Award is a crudely drawn picture of my head where the award name is placed on the ample space on my forehead in the midst of the framed award you will receive.
This year, I'm going to leave it right on the Xerox machine.
That is tremendous.
It's framed this year?
That is tremendous. Yeah. Hey, how about one more?
Sure.
How about one more award? Biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise. Biggest surprise on the Stevie Award. Well, look at there. Your winner for biggest surprise, a Stevie Award winner, the Dave Ennett broadcast booth.
Oh, he's not here.
Dave's not here to accept, Ross. What
no,
do we do?
He actually, we actually do have a Dave Ennett acceptance speech.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
So he taped this ahead of time?
Apparently.
What an egomaniac.
What?
So he thought he would win?
Apparently.
Well, he doesn't win much, though. Maybe he thought he was going to win this.
Roll it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to receive this award. I really wasn't expecting this, so I don't have anything prepared.
But this is such a great honor. In my wildest dreams, I never thought I would hear my name called at the Stevies.
My name.
This is a great speech. Remember, all Stevie Awards are placed on flimsy paper and slapped together at the last minute for your dining and dancing pleasure. Actually, I should give Katie O'Connor credit, our graphics artist here, who did a great job on this year's Stevie Awards, because she's not working with much. So to be able to take my head and produce this beautiful award is pretty good. Pretty good.
Is Dave still talking?
Last word he was, yes, still talking.
Yeah, he's still talking.
Lucy and Steve, my two sisters, yes, my still dad, happened. Who's yeah. been a wonderful role model.
Yeah, have you ever taken a Stevie away from anybody?
I was thinking about taking a Stevie away from Dave, but at this point, if he's still talking, then, I mean, what's really the point if you're just going to continue, you know? It's 8:56. Josh Abbott Band tonight, Joe's on Wheat Street.
Yes, sir.
JoshAbbottBand.com.
Tickets are still available.
It's my friend Paul Williams. If you think your kid has any musical talent, contact me and I'll give you Paul's cell number.
Thanks. My wife was, we're moving some insurance stuff and, my son's in Nashville. She's talking to somebody else. My son's in Nashville. He lives like 15 minutes from you. Do you know anybody in the business?
No.
She was like, no.
No, never met anyone. 8:57, more in a moment on 720 WGN. We have decided, all right, I've decided. Based on what Dean said, based on whatever, I mean, look, go see any movie you want to see, obviously. I'm just not comfortable talking to Sacha Baron Cohen based on what I know about this movie.
So you're not going to do it?
Canceled.
Okay. That's probably smart because of all the weirdness in it. And by weirdness, I mean the elephant stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Borat was a funny movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see Bruno. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not for me. So, and a bunch of listeners asked that we cancel it.
I think it's a good
call.
It's
the right thing to do.
Good call.
By the way, I've also canceled Donald Trump and Ted Cruz's remaining candidacies as well. That's the kind of power we have.
You're listening to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
907, one of the advantages of having an audience this size is you can go, hey, I need some help. My brother, Mickey, who I've talked about on the show many times, doesn't like to fly.
Yes.
And he's coming out. Mickey has special needs, very high functioning, but he has special needs, and he takes the bus when he comes to visit. And he's very detailed and knows where his stuff is. Well, he says he lost his bus ticket.
Oh, no.
From the Greyhound people. And I'm trying to get some information while we're doing the show here on what do you do about a lost ticket with Greyhound. Does anybody know the answer to that?
You know what? I know someone. I can make a quick call to
Greyhound.
Well,
I was thinking the audience must know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that they have a record of your purchase.
Well, they must, right?
Yeah. It's like losing
your
ticket.
It goes into a computer.
Did you ever lose or misplace, you know, your theater tickets or your concert tickets?
I lost Super Bowl tickets. I was pickpocketed for Super Bowl tickets.
Is that true?
That's true, sir. Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I know if you lose, misplace your theater tickets or you show up and you don't have them, you can go to the box office and they have a record of your purchase.
Well, I actually ended up buying more Super Bowl tickets I was pickpocketed, yeah. Yeah.
Is that true? Were you really pickpocketed?
Yeah, they're giant tickets, like giant ceremonial tickets.
Uh-huh.
And being the genius that I am, while I was carrying them, I don't know, I had something else in my hands, and I put them in my pocket, and literally within seconds, I got bumped.
And someone took
them. And someone took the tickets.
Oh.
Now, the kid that stole, this was when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, what was it, 1991, 92, something like that. And a lot of the cops there knew who I was, so, and I never know these kind of details. I just happened to know where the seats were. So they went and checked, and sitting in the seats are these two teenagers just having a great time. Oh, man, we are at the Super Bowl. Pass me some popcorn. So then the cop said, do you want us to make a spectacle? I'm like, of course not. But I also don't want them to stay at the Super Bowl. So remove them. And I said, I don't even care if you arrest them, but certainly let them know that you know they're in trouble. In the meantime, I already purchased additional tickets from the National Football League. And then I was put in a position where I had, because this happens, two extra tickets to the Super Bowl for about 10 seconds.
Oh.
And one of the policemen was just getting off shift.
And you gave them to him?
He may have roughed me up. I don't know.
Okay, there
you
go.
No, but he got the additional
seats.
See,
that was nice of you. It all worked out.
Yeah. So.
So Greyhound.
Greyhound has nothing to do with the Super Bowl, but the Greyhound folks have to have a computerized record of my brother's ticket,
don't
they?
I'm sure they do. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you, audience, for your help at 312-981-7200. Texters 312-981-7200 as well. John, you and I have a show coming up in a couple of weeks where Andrea and Kevin and Ross are all going to do stand-up as well.
Yes.
And where are we doing that?
We're going to be doing that at the Wilmette Theater. Beautiful little Wilmette Theater. First time to see Andrea do stand-up.
Which is very exciting.
First
which
time
is
so I exciting. Will see Andrea do stand-up.
Yes. Yes.
Right. She's starting to get a little nervous now, which
I know
is appropriate.
She is.
I am a little nervous.
We're a couple weeks out.
Do you guys? Can I ask a question? Do you guys practice your routines? Maybe I should ask Kevin this because he's
mm-hmm.
old hat now.
Oh, it's much like this show. Everything's scripted.
Do you yes. guys?
Every word of it's scripted.
Do you guys practice in the mirror, in front of people?
I do most of my practicing in the car when I'm driving home and stuck in traffic.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I actually have a sort of an unofficial tradition where I'll run the set with Ross on the way to the theater after I haven't memorized it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I practice it when I'm getting paid.
Okay. Wait, memorize it? You can't have like a cue card or a script? There's no teleprompter?
There is no teleprompter.
What?
No. Yeah. We could get her a cue card guy.
Yeah, that would be good.
That could be you.
I could be. I'll do that.
You could be the cue card guy. That. I'm the Wilmette Theater.
I'll just write whatever
like
I want, though.
Oh, I was going to say, do I trust you being the cue card
enjoy that.
Guy?
Yeah,
no,
that.
I don't need that.
So how do people get tickets to this show?
You can go online to...
The show's going to be funny, right?
Oh, it's going to be hysterical.
Okay.
Yes. 2 weeks away. Come on. Beautiful little theater in downtown Wilmette. Go to wilmettetheater.com or call the box office at 847-251-7424.
Speaking of great theaters, there's an event coming up this weekend, and we invited this gentleman in the studio to talk about it because he's a proud proprietor of one of Chicagoland's greatest theaters, the Tivoli. But in addition to that, did you volunteer for this gig, Mark?
I did.
Okay. Tell everybody your name.
Mark Mazremus. I'm the marketing manager with Classic Cinemas. We have 13 theaters, 104 screens, and more than half of our theaters are historical. And
like the Tivoli.
Like the Tivoli.
Yeah. And we were talking off the air because... It had to be 10 years ago now. We did a Hometown Voices show out at the Tivoli, and it's just beautiful theater.
It is. You packed the house.
Either that or a few hundred. Whatever. but that theater's got to hold 1,000 or something, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it holds 1,000.
Wow, how about that? But this is not about the Tivoli. This is about another great theater, but a theater that is newly enshrined.
It is. The Woodstock Theater, just off the square in downtown Woodstock. We expanded it about... 2 years ago and actually restored the original auditorium with a dome that we didn't even know what kind of condition it was in. And we created this beautiful stadium seat auditorium with a lot of artifacts from the original auditorium. And we were given permission from the Harold Ramis family to commemorate the auditorium to Harold Ramis.
How about that?
That's phenomenal.
First off, it's hard to believe Harold's been gone for 2 years.
I know.
That's amazing. But Woodstock,
and
Groundhog Day.
Over, and we show it over and over and over again. And we show it in the Harold Ramis Auditorium, which is very appropriate. And somebody asked me, Steve, what else could we do with it? And I said, well, let's put together a little film fest. So we put together this year a tribute to Harold Ramis. We're going to show three of his films, you know, and he's involved in acting and writing. We also know that he directed, and all three are digitally remastered, and we're going to kick off Sunday with Rick Belairs. I don't know if you know Mal Belair's son, but Rick is going to be the MC for
it. Nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and we're going to show Ghostbusters at 1 o'clock.
Nice.
And then on Monday night, we're going to show Stripes at 7, and we'll conclude with Animal House at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Three classics, digitally remastered, on the big screen, and I know you can identify with this. Is there anything better
No.
than comedy with a live audience?
Right. No. No, it's Right. tremendous. And the great thing about those three movies is everybody in the audience probably knows them by heart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. They can recite it while they're actually watching the movies. And Harold would love this. What a great tribute.
Oh, he would. And one of the things that happened to us about 2 months ago, there is an art museum in the courthouse of downtown in Woodstock. And in the basement, they found a concrete slab about 16 by 16 with Harold Ramis's actual handprints.
Are you kidding?
Autographed, yes, an archaeological find. And so
wow.
We have it in our possession. You know, as far as we can tell, it was signed February 2nd of 97, which would have put it maybe 5 years after they did the filming of Groundhog Day. So we are going to unveil it for Ghostbusters and then
cool.
have it for the other two movies, Stripes and Animal House.
And you're going to put it outside in the sidewalk or something? What's the ultimate
plan? You know what?
Plan?
We haven't figured it out. Right now, it's in a cardboard box. We haven't figured out what we're going to do with it, but we want to mount it and put it. We already have a plaque up for Harold Ramis, and we have a letter that he wrote to the city of Woodstock thanking him for the filming. So we figure we'll just add it to what we already have.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a nice thing. It's a very nice thing.
It is. And I want to mention one of our partners is Real Woodstock, and they're the people that put on a lot of events in Woodstock. So if you go to Real Woodstock, .com, you'll get more than just the Harold Ramis Fest. You'll get things that are going on, and we're working with them, and they're great people. And if you've never made a road trip to Woodstock, it is a beautiful little town, quaint, nice restaurants, and of course, the Harold Ramis Film Festival.
Well, congratulations on it in advance.
No, I was going to say, a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, before this renovation happened, my wife and my son took the train to downtown Woodstock, because you get off about a block away.
Right.
And we saw a movie before the renovation. I just saw the pictures of the renovation, and it blew me away.
Yeah, it looks
that
fabulous.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was just a little
looks like
little
a brand
theater.
New theater.
Yes. It I didn't even know where it was.
When we took over, it was a little theater divided up that lost the stage. And with the renovation, we found there was a dome in the ceiling. We opened it all up and brought it as close to its original theater.
That's not a cheap project. You were able to do that all by raising funds?
We did that all on our own. The Johnson family, Willa, Shirley, and Chris, were an independent family-owned theater, and we did it ourselves. They had to find like a master plaster crafter,
wow,
ornate painter to restore this dome, and we had no color photos, just had black and white photos of the original. So we had to do a little guesswork on it, but it came out beautifully. So I recommend you come out, whether it's Hometown Voices or there's golf courses there, Steve, we could tempt you with.
Oh, wait. You just said the magic word.
Right.
Wow.
Why did he leave? Why did he got up and left?
Somebody said golf courses. But congratulations. It's a nice thing for Harold Ramis and Harold Ramis fans. So for tickets, what do people do?
Tickets are $6. They can go to classiccinemas.com to get them or just come up to the box office. And it's this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Ghostbusters, Stripes, and Animal House at the Woodstock Theater. I'll be there Sunday. So if anybody wants to say they heard me on the Steve Cochran show, I'm there.
We'll get them in for $6.50.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we'll even give you free refills.
Oh, very nice. Not everybody will do that if you drop my name. Nice job by you.
All
so
right.
Thanks
Thank
for coming
you
in.
Much.
Appreciate it. It's We are back with the Stevie Awards, Achievements in Steve Cochran Show. And yes, I know it's grammatically incorrect. There's really just no other way to say it. This is for the year 2015. What's our next category, Ross?
Wow, we thought that could have gone better.
Wow, we thought that would have gone better. The nominees are Cook County Board President. You want me to go with this one first?
Yeah.
Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Well, here's why it's a conflict.
Two-thirds of our money.
Madam President, you asked me a question. I'm going to put you on hold, Madam President. I don't do Scream Fest here. This is what you asked me. You asked me, how could it be a conflict? The conflict is you're a very powerful person in a very powerful position, and she is your chief of staff. So as your chief of staff, the public may see it as a conflict. So why you're yelling at me, I don't understand.
We made up, by the way.
You did make up. She came in studio. It was a love fest.
We sang Peaches and Herb reunited.
Kumbaya.
It was awkward.
Very.
Wow, that could have gone better. Nominee number two. What is nominee number two?
Artem Anisimov.
I'm sorry, who?
Artem
Anisimov, Chicago Blackhawks. But Artem Anisimov, every time he gets the puck on his stick, he looks like he might score. Welcome back to the show, man. How you doing? Did you know you were named one of the five most underappreciated players in the league?
No.
Yes, and nominee number three.
Fleischman?
Thomas Fleischman.
Thomas Fleischman. Tomas Fleischman, one of the newest Chicago Blackhawks, joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
Welcome to well, I know you're in Detroit, but welcome to Chicago.
Thanks, Steve and Dave, for having me tonight. Today, I mean.
Did you spend much time here other than playing here?
Yeah, I spent more time.
You remember the part where I said, hey, what's it like to look around the dressing room and see all this talent? You ever had a situation like this? He goes, yes, with Red Wings.
Yeah. That was just a little bit of a language barrier.
Steve, you've probably done thousands and thousands of interviews in your career. Is it ever more difficult when they can barely speak English?
No, actually, the worst was someone who spoke English very well, Robert Goulet. And then you got Gwen Stefani and other people. None of these people are terrible people.
No, those are just
bad interviews.
Bad interviews.
And you know, when you have a bad interview, you know whose fault it is? Mine. But the winner is. Let's go and find out who the winner is right now. Oh, Ross, I'm going to have you announce this. The winner is who, Ross?
Artem Anisimov.
Oh.
Congratulations. Artem Anisimov couldn't be here because he's in Dallas with the Chicago Blackhawks. And even if he was here, he couldn't understand me. We will be sending him his Stevie Award.
I heard he just wanted to say thank you.
Do we have another Stevie Award? Do we have time for
one
more?
We do.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
This is a big one.
You know.
Most likely to have pig vault...
Pig what?
Most likely to have pig valves installed in his heart.
Oh, pig valves.
The nominees are Orion and Samuelson, and the winner is Orion Samuelson.
All right, big O.
Awesome sauce.
That's right.
Perfect speech.
Does he need to make a speech?
Hashtag awesome sauce.
All right. Yeah. More Stevie Awards coming up on 720 WGN. I had no idea. We're still handing out Stevie Awards left and right. Oh, what a big, big night here at 9:30 in the morning. Our next Stevie Award is most ridiculous thing I spent money on in 2015 for the show. Most ridiculous thing I spent money on in 2015 for the show. We were going to dig up clips for this. But the clips, when we listened to them, didn't make any sense, which makes you wonder how the show was that day. The most ridiculous thing I spent money on in 2015. What are the nominees, Ross?
We have the Trump Bagboards.
Trump Bagboards. This was the artist who did the Donald Trump bean bag boards.
The cornhole boards.
And how much were they?
Those were $500.
I wasn't that good at that.
Yeah, $500.
They've been used once and are currently leaning against the wall in the office.
And if anybody wants them.
$500.
Hey, Trump's in town today.
Mm-hmm. You want to bring the
bean bags against Trump?
We should just have them delivered.
That's a great idea.
Just send them to him.
That's fantastic.
These are the best. I have great beanbag boards. I have great cornhole boards. I have the best cornhole boards. Another nominee would be?
The Gondolas gift card that you sent to...
Yeah, that's right.
Brock's back. Fear the bird.
Brock's back from Illinois State, who is threatening to leave his coaching position, which I thought would upset Kevin.
Yes.
So for the sake of Kevin... Well, and I like him, and I certainly like our friends at Illinois State. So I offered to bribe Brock's back with gondola sandwiches.
You told him if he signed a long-term deal with the school, which he eventually did, you would give him a year supply of gondolas. We did the math. We figured about $500.
So we got him a $500 gift card for gondola sandwiches at, what's the name of the place?
Avanti's. And when I called and told them that, they were in shock, and they knocked off $40 of the price, Steve. So you paid about $460 for that.
I still don't know what the $40 was.
You get 10%
off. Pay $500, you get $40 off. That's their deal at Avanti's.
That is unbelievable.
So that was $460, so you're just under $1,000 for money.
Does that come with chips?
By the way, that doesn't include the charitable contributions, but that's a whole different argument.
I'm
going to
start a GoFundMe page and ask
for me
for money.
Yeah. So congratulations to whom? Who is the winner, Ross?
The Trump backboard.
Yes, the dumbest thing I spent money on in 2015. By the way, no reflection on the artist. The artist was a good dude.
Oh, it's a great rendition.
I like the artist.
Oh, yeah. Trump.
And anytime you can do something to get money out of me, I would recommend you do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We should whip those out.
Still to come. Still to come on the Stevie Awards before Bill or Wendy attend the best Cap moment. Remember David Kaplan before he died?
David Kaplan.
David Kaplan did not die.
He's died here on the show.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, Cap.
Yeah. Best election correspondent. I like your chances.
Oh, am I nominated for that?
Yeah, but you're also up against Wolf Blitzer. And best puck in the pants. Still to come. And in case you missed our lifetime achievement in Stevie's, we'll play that back for you as well. All still to come on the show, along with a check-in on how John's YouTube. /9:41 I want to salute CBS News for doing something at a time where people aren't doing big-time investigative reporting anymore. And it's an unfortunate story because it's a very important cause. And I think you know how I feel about veterans' causes on the show. But the board of the Wounded Warrior Project, one of the nation's largest veteran support groups, has fired the top two people in the company for excessive spending and not on the cause. Wounded Warrior, according to a CBS investigation, had ridiculous overhead costs and was spending tons of money on parties, trips, traveling first class, and staying first class, all under the auspices of now former Chief Executive Officer Steve Nardizzi and Chief Operating Officer L. Giordano, both fired by the board yesterday. According to CBS, Wounded Warrior spends 40 to 50% of its money on overhead. Absolutely inexcusable. Any charity worth its weight will spend no more than 15% on overhead.
So that means 60% would go to the vets then?
In the case of Wounded Warrior.
Yeah.
You should be running minimally. I mean, absolute. Even big, big charities should always be above 80. But 85% should be the number you shoot for. 85% going to the cause that you're raising money for. The reason I bring this up is not to slam Wounded Warrior Project. I think it's an extremely important charity. It's just like every other cause that's out there. You need to do a little homework, and you need to find out who you're giving your money to. And in Wounded Warrior's case, I have no doubt they're going to be back bigger than ever, stronger than ever, and they're going to give every bit of that 85% back to the cause. But if there's bad guys at the top, you have to get rid of them. That's it. And that's what happened in this case. So if you are a subscriber to Wounded Warriors, if you're giving them that $19 a month, I hope you won't cancel. I hope you'll stay with it, because I believe that change is already happening with getting rid of the two that were essentially stealing from the company yesterday. But in the meantime, if you're considering donating to Wounded Warrior and you're going, I need a breather here, just got to take a look for 60 or 90 days, I understand that as well.
Right, because it upsets you, make a donation to a cause like that, and you wonder where the money went.
So it's truly disappointing. There's a website called Charity Navigator, which is one of a few that does a really good job at vetting charities and letting you know that the money they are giving to you is actually going somewhere. For instance, our friend Mark Doyle in Rags of Honor. I can tell you right now, because I know Mark Doyle's finances, and I know he continues to pour his own money into this charity as opposed to taking money out of it. So when you give money to Rags of Honor, that money is going to support previously homeless vets, and in some cases still homeless vets, who are actually working and getting back on their feet, making T-shirts that in exchange you and I can buy. These are great T-shirts and things. And Ross, you volunteer with Mark at Rags.
Yes.
What's the latest over there?
A bunch of different stuff coming down the pipeline as usual. But just to your point, Mark, because of Mark's other business, he's able to pour 100% of what you donate to Rags goes to those veterans.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunately makes it pretty unique. But like you said, anything above 85 is a charity that's worth donating to.
Let's get it done.
But there's a lot of St. Patrick's Day stuff coming along the pipe for Rags. So just go to ragsofhonor.us or shop.ragsofhonor.us.
And I think Mark's coming in next week, isn't he?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. We say probably because we never know when he's on a plane having to go somewhere. Yes. For one of his clandestine projects.
Yes, he's kind of Batman.
He is Batman. We'll get back to our final three winners in the coveted Stevies, and we've kind of saved the best for last. So that's coming up. But I want to get John in here because John has created a YouTube channel for John, but John is doing a really good job of showing that YouTube channel off. And our hope here is that John will be famous enough through YouTube, like so many other people are for no good reason, that John will actually have to leave the show. That's our dream. Our dream is John will be a big enough YouTube star that he'll get out.
Don't we mean like spread his wings and fly?
Isn't that what I said?
Bigger and better.
That's what I meant. Oh, That's not what I said.
You know, my lifelong mantra has been for no good reason.
For no good reason could be a good slogan for you. Yes. Kind of encompasses everything, doesn't it?
It's my hook.
So what is the title of your YouTube channel?
The title of the YouTube channel is Today Into Cause.
And I looked at a piece this morning. There's some cool graphics going on there. I mean, tell me we're not spending money on that.
I think.
Yeah, how much are we over budget right now, John?
No, it's not that. It's not that much. It's $42,000.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the kind of money that we.
You
really need
said
to talk
about. No. Yeah, you okay. said
what so. Whatever the, it takes, Steve.
Whatever.
What are the new videos that are up?
The two that went up this week. We have Santa Maybe.
Like Santa Baby, but Santa Maybe.
Santa Maybe, okay. And Peaky Chicken.
I'm sorry, what was the last one?
Peaky Chicken.
What is Peaky Chicken?
It's a takeoff on Peaky Blinders.
What's Peaky Blinders?
Peaky Blinders is a show.
I don't know what that is.
You'll have to watch the video.
All right, so this isn't like the Sacha Baron Cohen movie where I'm going to be appalled, right?
No, you will. You will be appalled. It'll right. be, it's disgusting.
How many videos do you have up now?
There's like 20. There's like 20 videos, and we have more to come.
Yeah, they're well done.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun, so it's good.
And
so.
John has 69 subscribers on his YouTube channel.
How about that?
That's a nice start.
Look at the Ross. I don't know if Ross is being sarcastic.
Are we promoting that on social media?
Whenever that I remember, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
To our thousands of Facebook fans and our thousands of Twitter followers.
Yeah.
We should probably mention that.
You just went over 6,000 on Twitter at Cochran Show, so congratulations to you.
Hey.
Ooh.
I have got to do a sex tape. So, it's ridiculous. I'm only at 6,000.
You could use mine, Steve.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the number.
The same one,
what is, of all the videos you've done on A Day Into Cause, what's your favorite?
The serial killer was my favorite.
Serial
killer
is really
good. The one I showed
you
this morning.
Yeah. You know. By the way, I'm being told it's 2 day into cost, not a day into cost.
No, I said 2 day into cost.
No, I said a day.
Oh, okay. Well,
what a silly argument to have on the air.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you'd like to go to This Week Into Cost, no, it's Today Into Cost on YouTube. Search that and watch the videos and tell us what you think and subscribe.
Yes.
Doesn't cost you anything.
Not a dime.
Yeah. You get John's idiocy piped right into your computer or mobile device.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
You can even have me high def.
Are we going to do another Stevie when we come back? Well, we're going to have to. We're running out of time. We're going to have, like, the end of a 4th of July show. We're going to have a Stevie fireworks extravaganza when we come back as we go through our final Stevie Awards next on 720.
Home for healthcare.
Yeah. What?
Okay.
But how do you find our backups? What's going on?
We'll explain this to Marriott here in just a second.
Wait,
which
question.
One? Who
Andrew
done?
Luck for Drew Brees. All right.
Oh, Steve, that was a dumb move.
Thank you.
Wait, do we have the same teams every week then?
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
there's one. I don't
exactly.
have any quarterbacks on my back.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I do not. That's, is that BN?
Correct. BN.
Bench.
Yeah. Yes. And you
that
have,
stands for bench?
What would you like a different?
I don't know. Could we just have a B?
Yeah.
What? That's is that BN?
Further down.
It says BN.
Yeah,
oh, there's
BN.
A bench?
Where would the backup quarterback be listed?
Yes, I don't see mine. What's going on?
Yeah.
What?
That's an earlier Stevie Award winner. You can roll it. Go. That's an earlier Stevie Award winner. That was Mary Vanderbilt, most confused. Our next Stevie Award... Achievements in Steve Cochran Show, 2015. Best Election Correspondent. The nominees are Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper. Get another one. Give me another one.
So, the entire Fox News team?
The entire Fox News team.
Oh.
Politico, the whole Politico.
All of Politico, the Washington Post.
And the two people that BuzzFeed has cover politics.
Rick Pearson.
They cover it by posting slideshows somehow.
Yep. Yep.
Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein.
Oh. Well, definitely.
Or Andre Dallas. And.
Ooh. Oh, this is a tough competition.
Tough, this is the most nominees we've had in any category.
I know. Wolf Blitzer and the whole staff of Politico. Jeez,
it's unbelievable.
I don't stand a chance. Although John beat out those cute little kids.
I know.
Maybe I do have a chance.
I just ripped my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner is Andre Dallas.
Oh,
Andre.
You guys. Can I thank all of you? Can I we just take a second?
Yeah, go
Steve
ahead.
And Kevin and Ross uh-huh. and John uh-huh. and Mary 1 and 2 and my underachieving show brother Dave and Jimmy and Stephanie. And as long as I have the second, I can thank all my cousins. All of
oh,
them.
Boy.
Jack, Maria, probably. Jack, Maria, 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 Bobby,
where's the music
Rachel,
when you need
George,
it?
Nancy,
Nick,
Jenny,
Nick,
Ann,
Nick.
Dan, Natalie, Maria, Maria, George, and Stacy. And my mom.
That's Andrea Dallas. Best election correspondent. We continue now with one of our final couple of Stevie Award winners here. This is not an in memoriam, but it's the closest we've come since David Kaplan left the show. David Kaplan's best Cap moment. The nominees are, well, there's only one nominee. That's Cap, his dog, and the smoke alarm on a bad day of trying to make breakfast. Roll it.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
The code is Studley?
You just gave
trying to hit the other button to talk
oh
to the alarm
God.
Company.
That's right. You know the drill. If you have an alarm service, you have to know the safe word. And he had set off the smoke alarms in his kitchen
trying
while making breakfast.
Yeah.
Making an egg white omelet, I think it was.
And then had to reveal on the air his secret code word for his house.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
And then the fire department showed up.
The fire department did show up.
And then he took pictures with them on Twitter.
They take selfies.
Right. And the thing that Cap most ridiculously tried to convince us is that Studley was the name of a dog.
Yes.
Like, that's not totally what he calls himself when he looks in the mirror.
And then one of the firemen called from the same house, different, not one of the people who were there, said it's not the first time they've had to go to Cap's house.
When you find out Cap's got a thing for firemen and he keeps setting fires at his house.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
Cap could not be here today because he doesn't work here anymore. But we love Cap, and we wish him well in whatever fly-by-night operation he ended up on.
And we can see all his videos now when he's in the shower and in the hot
yeah,
tub.
And you can see him on Comcast every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. We have one more Stevie Award. I believe one more Stevie Award. Is that right? Do you have music for this? Oh, yeah, we haven't heard this. Oh, this is great. Ah, the category is Best Puck in the Pants. Best Puck in the Pants. This is tough. All right, so let's go to the nominees. Best Puck in the Pants. Nominee number one would be the great Chicago Bear, Ed Obradovich. Do you remember when Ed had a puck in his pants?
That was a good one.
Oh, man. I think it sounded like this.
Hi, I'm Ed Obradovich, and I have a puck in my pants.
Speaking of Chicago Bear legends, how many of us love the time that Dan Hampton caught a puck in his pants? Remember when Hamp had a puck in his pants?
Hey, Cochran, it's Hamp. Yeah, I got a puck in my pants.
Does anyone have a favorite puck in their pants?
I like Hamp.
I enjoy OB's angriness that comes along with it. Like, no one has sounded that angry telling us they have a puck in their pants.
But you haven't heard, or maybe you were out of town working for Roe at that point. Mm-hmm. But what about Tom Skilling's puck in his pants? That was tremendous when Tommy did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tom Skilling. I've done some crazy things in my career, among them talking to puppets and so forth. But this is undoubtedly the craziest thing I've ever done. And I'm only doing it because Steve Cochran asked me to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that I've got a puck in my pants. I guess you'll know what to do with that, and I'm not sure why I have that there, but Steve will tell you all about it. So,
That's right. The winner is...
We should give honorable mention to Anna, too.
And Josh Groban. He almost sang the puck in his pants.
The winner is... Tom Skilling!
Yeah.
Tom Skilling! By the way, we were going to have Tom on to do an acceptance speech, but it's 9:58, and there's not a shot in hell he would be able to finish in 2 minutes.
Once again, Tom Skilling with a puck in my pants.
Congratulations, Tom, and thank you for winning a Stevie Award. We'll come back and say hi to Bill and Wendy. All of our Stevie Award winners will be posted somewhere. Where would you like to post it?
Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, on Twitter @CochranShow. We'll put up a full after-party recap of the Stevies.
And we'll take some fake party pictures like it's a party we actually had.
Yes.
All right. Stand by for all of that. Bill and Wendy are next. One final look back at an incredible morning of Stevie Awards.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
A lifetime achievement award in Stevie's.
I know all about crazies.
I went to an Ivy League school.
I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. I have the best. But there's no better word than stupid.
I don't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal, so I don't want to get into it.
I'm really rich. I actually think I have the best temperament.
People love me. And you know what? I've been very successful. Everybody loves me.
I went to an Ivy League school.
He's not going to take any crap from anybody.
We have nobody in Washington that sits back and said, you're not going to raise that f***ing price. You understand me?
2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame.
He doesn't seem like a very bright guy.
I just want them to suffer.
The American dream is dead.
Donald Trump, Lifetime Achievement Award this morning at the Stevies.
This year's awards presentation was phenomenal.
Well, it was spectacular. Is that the word you're looking for? You know, it was the biggest award. Listen, I know awards. I've got a lot of awards. Yep. And I believe this was the best awards.
Yep.
And by the way, great. For those of you not watching on the live stream, I'm actually holding my pinky out like Trump does when he talks. He either goes pinkies or index fingers. I've got the best awards. I've got the biggest awards. You know, people love me. That's why they keep giving me awards. The Stevie Awards and Donald Trump. We're going to deliver that later today.
Beautiful.
Does he have a pinky ring? I haven't noticed.
He's got a ring somewhere.
All right.
So, yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Cut him open and count his rings.
He's going to sue you. That's what's going to end up. He's going to sue
he's
you.
He's going to
threaten. You know what? You know
he's
going
to threaten to sue you.
You know what? He's going to sue me, and he's going to do it because it'd be fun.
Well, he's
it'd
be fun. Doing that. I can't look at you, pinky man.
By the way, I have short fingers, and I'm proud of them.
Steve, Jimmy Kimmel is going to do...
I can disprove the theory all day.
Jimmy Kimmel is going to do his show with all your winners, so that's going to be fun to listen to later on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
And then Oprah tomorrow morning.
So, all right, Kevin, who do we thank?
Giordano's. They brought us a couple of pizzas. Thank you to them. This is actually pretty cool. You can order Giordano's now from Amazon Prime. I don't know if anybody has that here, but it's awesome. You get free delivery on everything. So you get free delivery of Giordano's pizza.
But still tip your delivery guy.
Still, absolutely. First-time customers receive $10 off their first delivery from Prime. Free delivery, $10 off, thanks to Giordano's. And thanks to Pies by Fasano, who brought a cake today for Steve's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Steve.
It's Monday.
Oh. Happy birthday, Monday,
Happy birthday,
Steve.
Then. I'll tell you then.
Yeah, don't ruin the surprise party we got planned. Ooh.
Congratulations to all our Stevie Award winners. Your crappy certificate will be delivered soon. Time now for Bill and